pasta course, and then we had a meat or a fish. Paulie did the prep work. He was doing a year for contempt, and he had this wonderful system for doing the garlic. He used a razor, and he used to slice it so thin that it used to liquefy in the pan with just a little oil. It's a very good system. There was Jimmy and Tommy and me, and there was Anthony Stabile, Frankie Carbone,
and Jimmy Two Times, who got that nickname because he said everything twice, like...
And Andy. And Andy?
And his guys, Frankie the Wop, Freddie No-Nose, and then there was Pete the Killer, who was Sally Balls' brother.
Andy Hart.
And then there was Mo Black's brother, Fat Andy.
Some guy named Tom.
Funny how. I mean, what's funny about it? Right. Funny how. Let me understand this, because I don't, you know, maybe it's me. I'm a little f***ed up, maybe. I'm funny how. I mean, funny like I'm a clown. I amuse you. I make you laugh. How the f*** am I funny? What the f*** is so funny about me? Tell me. Tell me what's funny.
PFW in progress.
I'll go home and get your shine box.
All right. Welcome to PFW in progress. This is going to be a big show. It's the last show we do before the draft extravaganza on Saturday. And people are pumped and jacked. We've launched our official PFW blog. We launched that today, just a couple hours ago, and there's already people bashing Tom.
And I've already gotten in my first fight.
With who?
Some guy on there. I didn't care for his comments.
Some guy who happened to point out that Tom missed a pick.
Was that Billy?
I was cutting and pasting. It was my first blog entry. It's complicated.
All right. Well,
your first 6,000-word blog entry.
That'll be up for the whole draft, Fred.
That's right. We're here until 2. It's Fred, Andy, Paul, Frank, and Tom, along with Gary. And we'll be taking your emails at webradio@patriots.com. That's webradio@patriots.com. And
I think we're all pretty much in agreement on them.
Right. I just got to say, a lot of content up by you guys. I'm proud of you, the work you've done so far.
Thanks, Fred.
With the draft. It's really amazing. You know,
I think a lot of sites don't do that.
No.
I've been looking around, and they don't really focus on the draft a lot. They just kind of...
Well, they don't have guys on their staff that are, you know, studying this stuff. They're just putting stuff up that they get from other places.
And the best is yet to come.
Yeah. Yep. So Saturday's going to be an amazing thing.
Yeah, we're going to give you a lot to chew on over the weekend. I think this is going to be a more exciting draft maybe than some of the others that they've been picking at the bottom of the first round. With the two picks, there's, you know, the little bit more options that go along with that. I'm looking forward to the weekend a little bit more than I was, say, you know, a couple years ago when you're picking 32. And you just got to sit there and wait around. And as Bill always says, wave as the parade goes by. I think they have some options here. You're going to have to be into the draft, you know, as you get around 10, because you never know if the Patriots are going to maybe try to make a deal like happened to us last year in the second round when all of a sudden we were all talking and looked up at the TV screen and we were on the clock.
Right.
Plus the uncertainty of the draft at the top.
I was going to say.
To trade down.
I think the whole draft is going to be more exciting.
And then the uncertainty of... After you get through the first 7-8 prospects, the fact that so many different teams could value players in such a different way that, you know, players you think are top 12 prospects might be available at 24, the guys you think are going to be available might come off earlier. I think it should be an interesting first round.
Last year around this time was when the Mario Williams thing really got hot and heavy. You know, when people really started coming to the realization that, hey, Houston might actually take this guy. Do you think that's what's going on right now with Jamarcus Russell in Oakland?
I think the Raiders should take Calvin Johnson, and if they do, then I think a whole.
Well, I think it's the opposite this year. I think that everyone thinks the Raiders are going to take Russell, but I don't think they will.
Well, I don't think that would be the opposite. I would think that would be the same. Everybody thought Houston was going to take Reggie Bush, and they didn't. They took Mario Williams. It wasn't until now that people finally started saying, hey, it looks like they might not take
the difference this year is the team will take the guy who's the can't-miss playmaking stud superstar in Calvin Johnson rather than passing up the guy who's Reggie Bush.
And it would be interesting if they took Johnson, then made a draft
trade
for Randy Moss. Now all of a sudden you got your whole all boards are going nuts.
Well, Tom, what if you take Johnson and entertain the best trade for him?
Oh, yeah, you can do that as well.
You know, just whatever the most you can get for him. You know, that he seems to be that – one preeminent guy in the draft that everybody is most agreeing that is the best player in the draft.
And I think, so is Mike Johnson.
I think that's why it has a lot of intrigue, because last year the intrigue kind of ended when the Saints just said, we're taking Reggie Bush. And then all that trading and everything kind of went out the window. But apparently Matt Millen is too afraid to pull the trigger on anything and just wants out of the top 10 completely, because He doesn't seem like he knows where he wants to go.
He doesn't want to pick for him. He doesn't want to pick that high, but he doesn't want to go too low because there's a player that he wants, and he doesn't want to get. You know, he's a mess right now.
Well, he's been beaten so many times that he's a little
gun-shy. No, I agree. You know, but
I just don't buy into the whole we drafted receivers and it didn't work. If you've got a guy that you think's the best player, take him.
The problem is he's probably doubting himself now.
Yeah. Why he should have a job.
Right.
Well, that's why this draft is going to be very interesting, because you really don't know. There is no sure thing. You know, even though Calvin Johnson is, you know, probably the best player in the draft, you can't be sure that he's going to be the top
pick.
There's
been surefire receivers before that weren't so surefire.
Well,
There's been surefire tackles like Joe Thomas who weren't so surefire.
Yeah, Robert Gallery.
Surefire running backs who weren't so surefire. I mean,
Blair Thomas.
Every position this year where there's a guy who's surefire, and there's been, you know, we've seen this scenario, quarterbacks, two of them. Most of the time, one of them's
and
one stinks.
Even a guy like Keyshawn Johnson, was he really worth the first
pick?
He was a good
NFL receiver.
And I like Keyshawn Johnson, but I don't think he was.
Adams, was William McGinnis worth the fourth pick? No, hell no.
Yeah, not according to Fox Sports.
I don't think the wide receiver position in general. You know, I think Calvin Johnson is going to be great. I do, but I just think that when you're so dependent on other players at that position to be great, you have to have a good quarterback to get you the ball, and you need to have protection for the quarter. There's so many things. You know, if you're a running back, look, Barry Sanders didn't have a great supporting cast around him, but he was great.
Right.
It's harder to do that as a wide receiver.
Right. Especially for a team that has no quarterback. None at all.
Right.
I mean, you could be a really bad team, and maybe quarterback is set. You're just bad in other areas. But they're a team that has nothing at quarterback.
Yeah, and
you're putting so much pressure on Johnson.
And that's a huge difference between one and two, because at least Kitna can play a little bit.
Right.
You put Calvin Johnson in Detroit with Kitna.
Opposite
you got
Roy Williams.
You have something there. You put him in Oakland, and it's probably goodbye Calvin Johnson.
Put him in Oakland talking to Jerry Porter and Randy Moss about how the quarterbacks stink, and all of a sudden he could turn into, you know, something he hasn't been projected to be.
But that'll be interesting, because apparently Cleveland likes Jamarcus Russell, and so if they don't take Russell, see, I don't like Jamarcus Russell. I think taking him first in the draft is a joke.
I think he's a perfect guy to take in the second, third round as one of those guys with ridiculous talent that you have to develop. First overall, top five.
Yeah, you're telling
you're
me
trouble.
He's the best player in this draft. You're kidding yourself.
Right.
Well, that's why. We'll come out with our draft statements on Saturday morning, right?
Friday
morning.
Friday. We're going to have some questions that we're going to pose to the four of us. And
right. What?
I can't wait.
Paul, where's our food?
It should be here shortly. Maybe that's where Gary is right now.
No, he's right there.
He's sitting right there.
Oh, I don't see him. Oh, there you are. You're behind.
I do not see him.
Because he's behind the microphone.
Where did you tell them to
him.
Deliver it?
He's a lot bigger than that microphone.
The security shack?
The security
Command.
Well, if you say the shack, it's out in the parking lot.
No, I said command, and Andy called
Brad,
it in.
I'm a little worried about your weight loss here, because
or
lack thereof.
If you're that concerned about the food to the point where you're getting in arguments of how you said security,
I'm testy.
Shack,
I'm hungry.
What are you jumping on Fred for? Andy's so curious that I can't see Gary behind a stack of cups in a microphone.
I mean,
look at
for
Gary.
For sakes, buy
right,
one of these.
Right now,
they're
I can absolutely not see Gary.
Eat one in the morning, and it'll hold you over till 1
but
o'clock.
No,
he's
directly
behind
now
that
it's,
stack
I'm hungry.
Of cups in the microphone stand.
I can see you, Paul.
What is that, a go-lean roll?
I'm a big guy.
Yeah, it's good.
What is it? What is it made out of?
This one is
sawdust?
Oatmeal walnut.
Oatmeal walnut.
They have peanut butter. They have chocolate. They have all different kinds.
And that's all you're going to eat today?
And I had a shake.
That's it?
Until dinner.
That's not good for you, Tom.
I eat throughout the day, Fred. Don't worry about it.
Buffalo Wings.
The sausage sub, you're going to pound down in a few minutes. It's good for you.
Italian. All right, webradio@patriots.com is the email
address.
That's
not good for you.
webradio@patriots.com. Of course, the big news this week is that offensive tackle Sean Boobin has retired.
Well done, Fred. I thought he was on the team. I was going to contact PR and make sure that I had my papers in order and announce my retirement.
I thought
he
was with the Vikings, and you know, but he came back just for one day to retire as an agent.
That feature will be in the next edition of PFW. Yep. He'll be on the
retrospective,
cover, of
his career highlights.
That would be funny if all these players who were never Patriots asked to be come back.
I just want to be associated with a winner.
We have fun.
All right, web radio at Patriots.com.
Torrey James, Fred.
Torrey, yes.
Is official.
That's official. The cornerback. What do you think about that? Is he going to help?
Didn't
he,
we talk about that?
The first guy off the bench is a nickelback, or is down the depth chart?
Ideally, I think he's first guy off the bench.
Yeah.
Or
he could get cut in camp.
Yeah, depending on who they draft.
You know, Randall Gay, maybe, I guess, ideally would be your nickel corner. And maybe
they
this
draft
guy
a guy, and they have Gay. I mean, I think he's not a guy that's a lock to make the roster.
No, I agree.
All right, because if you draft Chris Houston or Daryl Revis,
and Randall Gay is healthy, and
Samuel gets resolved, then all of a sudden you're hoping that Torrey James might be 5 or 6 on the depth chart. And, you know, if he is, then do you need to pay your 5th or 6th corner, you know, veteran minimum money or whatever? I don't even know if he's getting veteran minimum. He might be more than that.
I think he is.
I think he's more than veteran minimum. So,
all right, let's fill people in on what's going on here at Gillette Stadium. There is some activity. Guys are around. What have you been seeing?
I saw the quarterback yesterday.
Saw the quarterback.
Actually, both quarterbacks.
Yeah, both Castle boxing.
Brady and Castle yesterday as we were walking down to
Castle
the podcast.
Castle was boxing?
Yeah.
Boxing
with
Don
anyone
Davis.
In particular?
Don Davis.
Brady. Just roundhouse right, knocked him out.
You know, it was like, you know, in high school tennis, Fred, when you have the number one, number two, and you can challenge the number one guy?
Move up the ladder.
Castle said, I'm challenging Brady to a fight. Okay. If I win, I'm the number one quarterback.
All right.
I don't know how it came out, though. He had to come down.
A lot of people working out. Heath Evans was calling somebody on.
Yeah.
Drew a shut-up white boy.
Yeah.
But, there was a ton of players working out when we were down there.
That's good. That's good.
Large attendance, as usual, is the case.
If they're here now, that means they'll be here for a while because they usually stay through the draft and for the week after. The rookie minicamp, I'm a little surprised at this. They're waiting quite a while after the draft to have the rookie minicamp. It's like a week later.
2 weeks, right?
Yeah. 2 weeks.
That's what they did last year.
Yeah, they've made that change recently.
Yeah, I don't like that. I
don't either.
I think they should get them in right away.
There's actually a reason for it, right?
Yeah, they went through a long explanation last year.
Because they wanted to have it on Mother's Day is all I can come up with.
No, I'm pretty sure that wasn't the reason.
Probably not the reason.
Oh,
no, there's a specific. It has to do with making more people able to be here.
Yeah, yeah.
The players and rules
because of graduation.
I know Ohio State always has that problem when you have a guy.
I think
from
it
Ohio
might
State.
Be finals, not graduation. I think it might be finals.
Really?
Something to do with college finals because they'd be in that time, right? Last week of April, first week of May. There's a specific reason, and I'm pretty sure it has to do with finals. Trying to get more guys here.
Okay,
there's like there's a 14 day window.
I'll actually
and this
look it up because I don't know for the life of me I can't remember the whole rationale. But
pretty sure it's a 14 day window and finals.
Last year, Bill had a good explanation of it on the first day, and I remember writing about it. And for the life of me, I can't think of all the details right now. I'll go back and
why
look
do
at my
they
stuff
do it over a weekend?
Year.
Cheaper plane fares.
What are you asking?
Why do you ask those
apparently
kinds
Fred
of questions?
Wanted to be
why
off on Mother's Day.
Why is it over the weekend?
Well, I did.
Is your wife mad that you're working Mother's Day
she
or something?
Even know.
Is Mother's Day the 13th?
And he's not working, is he?
Well, no, he'll be here.
I got a
for rookie minicamp?
Wasn't
I the only one here last year in the rain?
I was here on a Saturday by myself.
Yeah, you and I did it. You did one day and I did one day.
Yeah.
I was in Baltimore watching the Red Sox.
Yeah, I'm going to have to.
So Fred is doing.
The 12th is not good for me this year.
I got a lacrosse game on Sunday.
No, me either.
Really? Well, you
that might be my party. That might be my bachelor party too. So, maybe you are working,
Eric.
Are you going to be around for the barbecue this year?
Oh yeah.
Okay. When are you leaving?
Wow, this show
we're
is
talk about
spun
the draft at all.
my wedding's on Friday.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm leaving Thursday.
Okay.
For the rehearsal dinner. I'll be here that Wednesday for the radio show.
Okay. All right.
I don't need to take any time off.
I was wondering too if we were ever going to talk about the draft.
This show is spun out of control. In
I want this show to be all draft.
We got to get all the housekeeping.
But
out
before
of the way.
before that,
can
I just say one thing, Fred?
Fred is cracking me up with that Sean Boobin thing.
The Life Aquatic was so freaking bad.
You saw
I wanted
it.
To punch you in the
you
face.
Saw
you
it.
Saw it.
You
like,
saw
I
it.
Thought about quitting because I've lost respect.
You know,
for
I'm
you.
Surprised. I thought you
had
would
respect
like that.
For him?
I think you need to see it again.
You couldn't pay me to see it again. And I like all those other movies. I like Rushmore and all those movies.
You didn't like it.
No, I didn't think it was funny at all. I didn't.
Well,
get it
wasn't laugh ha ha funny. It was like quirky.
It was quirky, all right.
Apparently, quirky means stupid.
If quirky mean bad, then I'm mad.
You didn't like the part where
Chuckulent?
What's his name? The actor that's in a lot of movies.
Owen Wilson?
No, the other guy that played the German.
Oh yeah.
What's his name?
I know who you're talking about.
Owen Wilson was in The Life Aquatic.
Yeah, and He always plays like a toughie in other movies, yeah. But he slaps him in the face. You didn't like? Didn't think that was funny?
Not at all.
Oh, man.
Not one bit.
Okay, well.
Now, would you not have thought it was funny regardless just because you want to make a point to Fred?
No, I went in with an open mind, Fred. That's I was like, all right, the Life Aquatic's on. I'm going to sit. I'm going to watch it. I got an open mind about this. I wasn't trying to take any cheap shots, but an hour in, I just said.
That's what Andy does.
This is rivaling Ali is the worst movie I've ever seen.
Oh, so you didn't see the whole movie?
No, I watched it from start to finish.
Okay.
Every second of it I saw.
All was right. It Willem Dafoe?
Yeah, Willem Dafoe. Willem Dafoe. He was in it.
The only part I thought was funny is when he said to Bill Murray, "All right, I'm going to fight you." And then Bill Murray just punched him in the face and said, "You don't tell somebody you're going to fight him. You just smile at him and cheap shot him in the face."
Right.
How about
that part I thought was funny.
Pretty effort, you know.
I think you need to see it again.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
I think we've come to the realization you don't know anything about movies.
Why is he eating our buffalo wings?
Because I'm in call.
We got to go all draft. You got to suck too.
Can we go with? All right. Aaron Ross is clearly going to be the Patriots' 24th selection because if you check out Pat's Mock Draft Central, everybody who's updated recently of the
what does that mean?
20 mock drafts, Aaron Ross is the go-to guy. So clearly that's going to be the pick.
I do believe he may be the only cornerback on the board because I think there's always a run on corners. I think Hall's gone, I think Revis is gone, and Houston is gone all by 24. The Giants are looking for corners. There's a bunch of teams looking for corners in that area, in that 12 to 22 area, and I think three corners are gone.
All right, can we talk a little bit about those corners and tell me what you guys think of the differences between guys like Revis and Hall and Houston, and you could throw Aaron Ross in there. Who do you guys like? Who don't you like among that group, and why?
Well, I think Houston is the best man-to-man guy, jamming at the line like you, Paul. We were talking this week on tape. I mean,
I loved him on tape.
He just kills people at the line for his size. Strong guy. So I think if you a team that plays a lot of man-to-man, he's good for that. Revis, I think, is better as a zone guy.
You know, I like Revis a lot.
Yeah, I like him too. I think those are my two favorite guys. I'm not big on Hall, but teams are, so let's be honest.
Right.
He's not going to be
there. He's way up there on a lot of boards. He's a guy, same thing we talked about yesterday with David Harris. I just don't know how long he had to cover and if he was a product of a very good defense.
Yeah, I agree totally with the Revis thing. I think him more in terms of a zone cover guy, you know, maybe a Tampa 2 corner.
I like him a lot.
And there's so many teams that play Tampa 2 now.
And I don't like Aaron Ross. Didn't like his film, didn't like some of his practice footage.
See, you know what Ross is? He's kind of like a guy we get a ton of emails about, Marcus McCauley. He's kind of that safety corner tweener where they don't have great instincts as a corner, but they're both physical guys who might be able to make, and big guys, who might be able to make the switch to safety if a team drafts them.
But am I drafting a safety or a corner?
Right.
You know what I mean?
And in the first round, you want to take a guy where you don't. That's the problem we have with McCauley is, hey, the second round, if you think he's got talent, all right. But at 24 or 28, no.
Right. It's the same. I've said all along, first round picks, I'm looking for a starter. I'm looking for a guy who's shown me. And the one difference there is outside linebacker here, you have to project.
Right.
But everywhere else, I'm looking for a guy that plays. You know, we've seen the Tabucky Jones. Well, he's a corner. He's a this. He's a that. He was a nothing. He helped the team for a couple of years, but he was not a solid first round pick.
He was singing that tune last year.
Tabucky's Tabucky.
No, but Andy,
he was a nice player.
Yes, and I still think that he was a nice player. He would have been a great player if he was taken in the round that he should have been taken in, like the third or fourth.
Right.
But as a first rounder, you didn't get nearly what you need to get.
And not waste the time being a corner.
Yes, and the other thing I wanted to mention about Marcus McCauley, we've gotten emails that said about his junior year. Let me tell you something about his junior year. Richard Marshall was on that team 2 years ago. He was the guy covering Dwayne Jarrett. He was the guy covering Demetrius Williams. He was the guy covering Mike Haas. So if McCauley was such a great corner that everyone thinks he is, why wasn't he covering the top receivers? You know why? He was the guy getting blitzkrieged on the other side when Richard Marshall was stopping Dwayne Jarrett. It was Steve Smith blowing by McCauley. So we have seen him during his junior year, and he wasn't that impressive then.
Okay.
I just think that's a guy who ran a fast 40 at the combine. Everyone's like, he's got potential. Where is it? Played 51 games at Fresno State. He had 22 pass breakups and 4 interceptions in 51 games. Plus, he was benched last year. I'm sorry. That's not the resume of a first-round pick.
I just think it's harder and harder in the first and second round, first round particularly, to project these guys because they play so little football in college. They play 1 or 2 years as a starter, and that's it.
Yeah.
That's all they get to play.
Well, in that corner, one of the guys I really started to like is Hughes from California because he doesn't have the speed, but he has everything else. Everything else you want from a cornerback, he's got instincts.
He's one of those knack guys. It seemed like the ball ended up in his hands an awful lot.
I mean, he doesn't have that great speed, but in the third round area, if they're looking for a corner, I think he'd be a good pick.
Okay. What do you think about, You know, I was kind of looking over the roster today, doing my homework, because
I haven't. Starts 2 days before the
I haven't really done much until taking a crash course. Defensive line for the Patriots. I'm worried about the depth a little bit.
A little bit.
And I'm looking ahead. There's some big contracts coming up. They're going to have to pay Ty Warren. They're going to have to pay Vince Wilfork. You know, who knows if they will. Who's waiting in the wings?
They got five guys for three spots right now.
Yeah, but I mean, Jarvis Green is what he is. You know,
yeah, a very good backup player.
I think right. They could use a
backup
at nose tackle.
What if they lose a Ty Warren because they can't pay
him? I don't think they will, because I think that's a place where Bill's going to invest money. He invested the picks there, and I think he's going to invest the money there, because that defensive line is that's a place where you can't mask. Either you have it or you don't.
And that's why those guys are so expensive when they come around.
But if you lose him, you choose to lose him. You're not going to have a choice with Teddy Bruschi. He's going to retire in the next year or two. You don't have a choice at corner. You're already thin.
Are now hearing, and their agents are hearing, one of the best defensive lines in the NFL.
Right.
And they're hearing this now, and they're going to want to be paid
money. But that's down the road.
I know.
You have other pressing needs.
I don't
safety
think,
and corner, you don't
ready.
Have any players.
I don't think Ty Warren's
now.
Going anywhere. If they lose anybody, it'll be Wilfork, because I think that nose tackle, they'll find someone else to put in there.
But I think that's a concern, though, because I don't think they have anybody that's capable of playing
they
nose
need
tackle.
No, they need a backup nose tackle, although you know my Lakeem
Mike Wright, though, you know. I don't know.
He's out of position as a backup nose tackle.
Yeah.
Out of position.
You want to put him 16 games at nose tackle, he's going to get worn down.
You're right. So, again, a little concern.
But
not a day one concern. Day one, I wouldn't be surprised if they pick somebody.
Okay, now here's the point in the show where I ask, have you talked to somebody?
Are they taking that character out of Nebraska?
I think if there's somebody there.
They know what they see as needs. And you have a very strong feeling here.
Let's just say.
A weird feeling.
I agree with Fred. I'm looking for them to draft a D lineman day one.
Adam Carricker. Put it in the books.
Who's the one from Florida? Jamal.
Jarvis Moss?
No.
Jamal Anderson.
Jamal Anderson.
Not from Florida.
Where is he from?
Arkansas.
Arkansas. He's from.
Arkansas.
You're thinking of the wrong guy, Fred, because first of all, he's an outside linebacker in the 3-4.
I also think you're thinking of three guys, and you've made him into one.
Jamal Anderson is a skinny guy who'd have to play outside linebacker.
Jarvis Moss?
Who's good, but
no,
I
am thinking of
Tom.
Jamal Anderson. He was a lineman, though, in college,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, defensive end.
Yeah.
But he would – a guy here would be the Carricker from Nebraska. He would play that end. He could maybe line him out at his outside linebacker every now and then.
If one of these guys that are projected to be picked ahead of the Patriots slip to 24-28, I wouldn't be surprised if they snatch
him
up.
So you think if Carricker's on the board, he's a guy who's considered a top 15 talent. If he slips to 24, you think that's who they go with?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll be stunned.
Yeah.
I won't be stunned, but I would be surprised.
I mean, they'll have to take him, because they'll look at him and say, wow, we can't pass this guy up.
Okay. When teams are throwing the ball all over him next year, I'll say, well, it's a good thing you got your sixth defensive lineman to back up in 5 years from now when Ty Warren.
So you're convinced that they have to take a cornerback at 24?
I think they need help at linebacker, safety, and cornerback.
Absolutely.
The back end of the defense, to me, is where you need youth and athleticism and
playmaking. They need
that.
There's no doubt about it. They need that.
See, that's why I think a guy like Lamar Woodley would be such a good pick, because you put Woodley, Thomas, and Colvin in a rotation, a pass-rushing rotation, all of a sudden, Peyton Manning doesn't have time to pick you apart. So then you don't need shutdown corners. But I think they still need another outside linebacker who can put pressure on the quarterback, even though they paid for Thomas. They still only have two guys there.
So you would – but don't you think an inside linebacker?
Yeah,
sure.
I think they need
more
spots.
Important than an outside linebacker at
well,
point?
It all depends what you want to do. I agree. I think it is more important. But if you get an inside guy, now Vrabel goes outside and you have three.
Right.
To illustrate Tom's point. But if you don't get an inside linebacker and the value is a Woodley, now there's a guy that I think, if for whatever reason he's on the board, you can't pass him up. He's too good.
Belichick will turn him into a machine, a monster.
And I don't think of Carricker that way. I think of him strictly as a 3-4 end.
Yeah, so do I.
Not necessarily a versatile guy that can do a bunch of different things.
That's Jay Moore.
Right. No, that's a guy who can't play. Would
you like Stuart
Bradley? Yeah. Very different. One's a playmaker, one's
way,
a bum.
I saw no difference in those two guys.
You're an idiot.
I think that if a guy slips, a defensive lineman, and he slips, they will take him.
Trade out.
All right. Well, we'll have to see on draft day. And you also believe that
it's gotta be a true talent, Russell. It's gotta be a true talent for whatever.
Well, right. If Gaines Adams is there, I think they take him.
Well, okay.
But,
I'm not even being that ridiculous.
So, Carricker.
Carricker would be the one.
Okay. Okay. I don't see it.
Because the other ones would move over to outside linebacker.
You think they're going to play outside linebacker as in the pros?
I'd pass it up or I'd call and see if any teams want to trade into my spot to get the great value. I just don't see the need.
Okay.
I don't think that position's deep enough to do that this year.
Okay.
Those guys up front, I think there's some good players, especially at the top, but I don't think that they have... It's not one of those years like 2003 when the Pats picked Ty Warren and he was like the seventh or eighth defensive lineman in the first 13 picks. I don't see that kind of value.
Plus, I kind of think on some level they've overinvested on the defensive line already with the three first-round picks. And
now you're going to add a fourth?
Yeah. I mean, I think you have too many other holes to fill.
You just said, Fred, their contracts are going to come up.
I know.
Plus, well, then if Carricker becomes a starter, then his contract, I mean.
Well, yeah, but his.
Plus,
it'll be
if Richard Seymour and Ty Warren are that good, then I think you can sign a veteran nose tackle to play between them.
I agree.
Or if you keep Wilfork and Seymour, then you find a veteran end to play opposite them. I think you have two first-round picks, and you have some legitimate needs that need to be addressed. And there's spots where you can fill.
I think if you get out of the
guys are there that can fill them.
I think if you get out of the first two rounds, say even if because I'm saying round two in case they trade down.
Right.
If you get out of the first two rounds without any linebacker of any kind, I think you've screwed up the draft. I don't care who else they take.
David Harris or Beeson?
I would take David Harris, but we have them taking Beeson.
Yeah.
Because we're going by who they think they like.
I like David Harris too.
Okay. All right.
I think he's just bigger, better fit here. Apparently they love Beeson, so
yeah.
Well,
or they're throwing a smokescreen out there.
Yeah,
but we
or they put their team mouthpiece to good use.
But maybe they're throwing a smokescreen out about David Harris too, because another team that's interested in David Harris, you know who that is? The Indianapolis Colts. And we know Belichick likes to screw around with the Colts a little bit. And now Pro Football Talk is saying mark it down. They're taking David Harris. Don't mark anything down.
Well, in the past, the Patriots have had first-round picks, and they pick guys like Logan Mankins and Ben Watson, and everybody kind of like, what?
I'll tell you right
we
now,
we didn't really know a lot about
if
these guys.
Is
there a chance this year, 24-28, that they pick a guy that we're like, we never even considered?
Maybe, but yeah. if they take Greg Olsen, the tight end from Miami, this will be a terrible draft, regardless of anything else they do.
Olsen?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Because they do not need a tight end.
No.
That's for
What do you know about Greg Olsen?
He's the best of the tight ends, but this year there's not a lot of good tight ends.
Exactly. See, Fred, he knows a little bit about.
Let me see the Hour Lads to see what it says about the tight ends.
I haven't even looked at tight ends yet.
Weak crop.
I haven't even looked at the tight
end. Well, there's always a chance they could take somebody you're not thinking of, because maybe they're not looking at defensive back, linebacker like we're looking at it. Maybe they say, like you did, well, this is the best guy here. We're taking him at defensive end.
There's no question they could make a pick of a guy that we're not really
Marshawn Lynch
targeting. But
that would be a shocker, right? If they took Marshawn Lynch.
I wouldn't find that as much a shocker as defensive line. I would put defensive line
Logan
pretty
Mankins,
you're asking
low. What would Logan be a Mankins to me was a shocking pick.
Ben Grubbs, that
because,
would be a shocking
because Bill
pick.
Always said, and he was not really shy about saying it publicly, is that the interior linemen aren't guys that you really value. Because you can always find them. And that's why, to me, that pick was a shocking pick. Now, a lot of people like to say that they were shocked by a running back last year. Well, none of the four of us was shocked. And we certainly don't know anything any more than anybody else does. And we weren't shocked. We were talking about running backs all leading up to the draft, and we were talking about running backs on that Saturday.
We did a story in the paper about running backs.
The running back search was huge. Now, so we weren't taken by surprise by the fact that they took a running back. Now, you listen to... You know, a lot of the talking heads on the radio around here, and they said, Bill Belichick doesn't value running backs in the first round. He's a defensive guy. Well, that's stupid.
Right.
Yeah, would you be Ben Grubbs would be a surprise if they took him.
Ryan Khalil would be a surprise.
I would be surprised if they took an interior offensive lineman in the first round, yes.
Would you be shocked if they took a wide receiver in the first round?
No. Absolutely not.
No, I would be surprised, but not shocked.
Yes.
Okay.
That goes in the surprise category.
If it's anything on offense, I would be surprised.
But maybe they love Dwayne Bowe. Maybe they think this guy is the next, you know, some Andre Johnson, Roy Williams type guy. We have to have him because we're probably not going to keep the other guys for more than a year, and we have to get Dwayne Bowe.
Yep.
So maybe that's how they're thinking.
All right. Let's take a break, Gary. When we come back, we'll talk about mid-round punters.
The New England Patriots set a franchise record for fewest points allowed during the 2007 season.
The rush got to be sacked. Another big play.
Celebrate this historic milestone with a limited edition Goal Line Guardian poster exclusively from the New England Patriots, free. And if you think that's good, how about having it signed by two members of that record-setting defense, Roosevelt Colvin and Ty Warner?
He's going to be sacked for a safety.
Take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer by making qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots extra points, redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Bank of America Patriots extra points card and free Goal Line Guardians poster autographed by Roosevelt Colvin and Ty Warren.
Roosevelt Colvin, wow!
Patriots extra points, because fans want contact, too. Autographed poster limited to the first 200 with qualifying purchases. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
Hi, this is Taylor Twellman from your New England Revolution. Learn to play like the pros at Revolution Academy.
Oh, what a strike by Taylor Twellman!
The Revolution Academy is now enrolling for the 2007 season and has designed innovative, challenging, and skill-specific curriculums for all age groups. Tomorrow's soccer stars will learn how to develop their game, see how the pros practice, and even get tickets to a Revolution match. By the end of the program, you have learned the skills to play like a pro.
Twellman takes a touch. Taylor Twellman on frame, and in! Taylor Twellman has
The Revolution Academy is coming to Cranston, Rhode Island, Westwood, Old Orchard Beach, Maine, Waterville, Maine, Westwood, Sudbury, Bridgewater, Beverly, Norwell, Northborough, Foxborough, Swansea, Somerset, Westford, Tewksbury, and Smithfield, Rhode Island. To find a session in a town near you or to register, call 508-384-9242. That's 508-384-9242. Or log on to revolutionsoccer.net and score a goal with the Revolution Academy.
Oh, now a shot! Unbelievable! 3-2, Taylor Twellman!
Wear what the pros wear, exclusively from the Revolution Pro Shop. Conveniently located at Gillette Stadium, it's the perfect place to get all of your official New England Revolution apparel. The Revolution Pro Shop features apparel made by Adidas, the official apparel provider of the MLS. Everything from jerseys and sweatshirts to hats and jackets. Give your jersey a kick by having the Pro Shop customize it with the name and number of your favorite player or the name and number of your choice. With a huge selection of Revolution items for men, women, kids, and infants, the Revolution Pro Shop has something for everyone. The Revolution Pro Shop at Gillette Stadium is open to the public from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Saturday. Can't get to the stadium? The Revolution Online Pro Shop is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at revolutionsoccer.net. Get the gear your favorite player or coach wears on the field at the Revolution Pro Shop. If you were any closer, you'd be in the locker room.
That's right. The Revolution season is in full gear. Gary, what's their record so far?
1-1-1.
1-1-1.
There's a shock.
Okay.
I say in a month they'll be 1-2-7.
I actually think it is quite shocking that they have a win and a loss in just three games. They have two decisions. I think that's pretty surprising.
It's going to be a big year for the Revolution.
Big year when Bex comes to town in August, September.
All right.
August.
Talking about the draft here, of course. We've got a big weekend coming up. Big weekend for us, for Patriots.com, and for you, because there's going to be tons of content, including the official PFW blog, which launched today. And
it's big.
Tom's already got the final PFW mock draft up there for the Patriots.
And tomorrow we're going to start with our draft buzz section, where we give out the rumors that we're hearing around the league.
These are all direct from Chris Ferreira?
We got sources.
He's got some people.
Chris has people.
Yeah, he's got people. We got people all over the
place. People over in Worcester?
His people are telling him Salton Orlando might be
about, things about the Bills, the Broncos, the Redskins, all over the place.
Speaking of that, on the phone we do have Salt from Orlando. Salt, how you doing? Thanks for hanging on.
Oh, I thought I pissed Gary off, man. He had me on the phone for like 16 minutes.
Wow.
Nah, it was all Fred's fault, not Gary's.
He punked me.
Fred forgot you were there.
Oh, you guys let Fred back?
Yeah. Who? That's why the show's run amok.
Fred, I got a couple quick questions. Well, first I want to say congratulations to Paul and Andy for the babies.
Hey, thanks.
Thank you very much.
And so question number one, I guess no more Ed Hartwell, because if he was looking for that one-year deal, I'm pretty sure the Patriots would have signed him already.
I'm not so sure. I think that could be along the lines of Junior Seau.
Yeah.
Wait and see what happens in the draft.
Okay.
You know, if they get an inside linebacker, an outside linebacker, if they add some youth there, then maybe they don't feel they have the room. But if they don't like what's happening at linebacker, I think there's a chance after the draft they could revisit both those guys.
Yeah, I agree with Andy. You never know what happens. The Patriots with Belichick have made a lot of moves in June, and I wouldn't rule any of that out.
Speaking of that, the Broncos officially released Al Wilson.
That's because he can't play anymore.
Is he done?
If they're releasing a player of his caliber, I would say yes, seeing that he couldn't. They tried to trade him to the Giants, and he couldn't pass
the
physical.
I love that, though. We'll just try a trade. If anybody's dumb enough to take it and maybe pass him, we'll get something out of it.
They're a lot like the Patriots in the way they run their business. I like it.
Yeah. Didn't they get fined for breaking salary cap rules?
Yes, they did.
Salt, what's your other question?
Another question is, you said a couple podcasts ago, I listened to the podcast, so... about Goose, and he does a mock draft right before the real draft, and he said it's more, you know, accurate, I guess.
Yeah, just
He is considered to be among those mock drafts as accurate, if not the most accurate of all of them.
So I was wondering where you actually see that, or you know.
He does that actually the morning of Saturday on Dallas Morning News. Is his he's done two already. But even he admits he doesn't make his best effort or whatever until Saturday, right before the draft, because he doesn't want people copying him. And the only thing I'll say is I've heard in the past, one thing to keep in mind is part of the reason he's so good at it is it's not really necessarily even his mock draft. He's very well connected with a lot of teams and has cultivated a lot of sources around the league. So he actually gets a lot of teams to tell him who they really like. So a lot of times it's pretty dead on because
it's
guys
are
telling him.
It's a more educated guess than most other
you know,
people.
So-and-so from the Bills is telling him, if this guy's there, we're taking him. And, you know, as he talks around the league through the other teams, he figures out, well, there's a pretty good chance that guy's going to be there. So, yeah, he's accurate and he's well-connected. I happen to actually have his current
second,
one right in front of me.
Second of the three that he'll produce.
And he has the Patriots at number 24 taking Lawrence Timmons. And then at 28, taking Brandon Merriweather, the safety out of Miami. So a linebacker and a safety in the first round.
See, that's interesting because he works in Dallas, and my people in Dallas are telling me that they love Merriweather.
Yeah.
So it would be interesting to see on Saturday if he's got Merriweather going to the Cowboys.
Yeah, check out online. You can usually find it. I think it's password protected on their own site, but usually if you go to chat rooms, they have up a link to it so you can get the
Dallas place. Morning News, Salt, is Rick Goslin. That's All where right. you can find his stuff.
And I think Tom Caselli, at the end of his player position analysis, it always says you're going to tell the bad picks by the Redskins.
Yeah,
they never make enough picks to know if they're bad or good.
Well, I know, and I've changed the team. It's been the Bills, the Lions, the Raiders. I ran out of teams, so I just threw the Redskins in there.
All right, guys, take it easy.
All right,
Salt, thanks.
Salt from
We apologize
Orlando.
For Frank making you wait so long, or Fred, or whoever it was.
Webradio@patriots.com. I'll throw out the phone number, too, 508-543.
So you can wait for
You only have to wait 45 minutes to get on with us.
543-7482. That's
Fred's got punters
508.
He wants to talk about.
What's that?
I thought you wanted to get to punters.
Yeah, any chance that the Patriots grab a punter now that they've lost Sauerbrunn?
Yes.
If it's Daniel Sepulveda,
yes.
That's the only one you're going to draft.
Really?
I'm in the minority.
I'm not saying they will. I'm saying if they do draft a punter, he would be the only guy.
The other guy some
draft.
People have rated higher now. What is it, Poldladesh or something like that?
He shouldn't be.
But, yeah, I do think there's a chance.
Tom
if they had Sauerbrunn.
No, I've seen Sepulveda punt in games.
He kills it.
He doesn't watch the offensive lineman, but he broke down the punters.
All you got to do is watch this guy punt.
I know he's very highly thought of.
Both the guys, the Mason Crosby and the Daniel Sepulveda, have very strong legs. Crosby's the top kicker. You show the highlights of him making 65-yard field goals or whatever it
How
is.
How accurate
and,
are
and
they?
And a gale force win.
Well, he's a college player, so accuracy is going to be an issue. I mean, you're going to have to work on that. But, I mean, those are the two guys that have very strong legs as
big
know, some
leg.
Of the
big
top
leg.
Prospects. And, yeah, with Sauerbrunn gone, I think there's a chance. I'm not sure they're 100% sold on Josh Miller. I don't think they would have been looking to bring Todd Sauerbrunn back if they were 100% sold on Josh Miller.
I think it would have. Don't you think that would have to be kind of like with one of those six-round picks if Sepulveda is still
right,
there
they
and
think
they
he's
really
a fourth,
like him?
Yeah, fourth-round value. He's there at six.
Anything higher than that would surprise me.
High atop the Space Needle in Seattle, Robert is calling us. Robert, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Starbucks is still alive.
Yeah.
What's up, Robert?
Well, I've been worried about the Pats. I've been worried about the fact that a lot of folks are especially NFL.com, they're picking players that basically doesn't seem like they're saying they're trading up or they're trading back down to get some quality players. But I'm more worried about Carrucci than anything else. I think he just throws players in whatever he feels like throwing in.
Well, why are you worried?
Yeah, I wouldn't be too worried.
Well, I'm worried about the picks that he's saying.
Well, the only people who know they're gonna take are Belichick and Pioli.
Those
they don't even know
right
now.
Oh, yeah. They know nothing.
Because they're picking at 24.
And I like Vic. He's a great guy, but they don't know anything.
He's a past contributor to PFW. What is Vic saying?
I think he was picking not Beeson, but somebody else out of Puzlesny.
Yeah, I
really don't like the fact that someone's coming out of Penn State coming over to the Pats.
Well, I agree with you on Puzlesny. I don't think any of the three of us were overly infatuated with
you
him.
You guys didn't like him, but
no.
I'm hearing good things about him. Like, he will be a good pro.
He's going to be a great player, but he's not going to be a great player
for the Pats. Not everybody agrees, Fred.
But you all don't like him.
Right.
But
in the first round.
We think he's overrated. Not that he's going to stink and never be anything and bust out in a year. He's overrated.
So if the Patriots traded out of the first round and ended up taking him in the second, would...
Well, I don't really think that he fits well with the Patriots very well, period. But I don't think he's going to be a great pro.
You don't.
My number one question is, last year against the Cincinnati Bengals, we didn't have a big wide receiver to throw to. And the thing is now that we got Washington from Cincinnati, we have a big wide receiver to at least get into the mix. Do you see later in the, not in the first or third, but maybe in the fourth, fifth, or sixth, possibly getting a big receiver to come on in?
Well, I'm not sure about the size of the receiver, but I think we all think that they probably will address, because this is a pretty deep crop of receivers. I think they will address that spot despite the amount of attention they've given that position in free agency. I think that, you know, we've talked about this in the past on the show, that four of those top five guys, Washington, Stallworth, Caldwell, and Gaffney. Now, Welker's the only one of those top five that's here for the foreseeable future. The other four that I mentioned could be free agents. Now, two of them definitely will be free agents in Caldwell and Gaffney, and the other two have contracts that are very easy to get out of after 1 year. So I think, there's a strong possibility that they go after wide receiver, and I'm not necessarily putting off day one. I think it could be as high as that third round, or if they traded down and took a receiver like Bo or Sidney Rice or, you know, someone like that, maybe a Meacham, even though, you know, we don't really like Meacham as much. In the second round, if they were able to acquire a second round
That'll
pick.
Be a true value pick. I
sure.
Think.
Now,
wherever
now
they
talking
take
about
them,
the 28th pick, possibly trading back down into the second round, like Tom Casale's saying.
Right.
Maybe running back is a key situation because we don't have a go-to second guy besides Falk.
Well, and here's the problem with the running backs, and that's why I put that in our thing, is that the second round is going to be huge for running backs. You're probably going to see your Booker. That's where you're going to see Leonard, maybe Michael Bush, maybe Tony Hunt. And they don't own a second round pick. So if they like one of those guys, they're going to have to get a second round pick. They're not going to take him at 28, and they probably won't be around in the third round.
Is another team going to see a value in moving up to 24th, trading with the Pats? And possibly, you know, just switching first-round picks. So the Patriots still have two first-round picks. And also...
Well, that's always a possibility in play
the slide. You see what I'm saying? I mean, the Pats have got so much flexibility in what they want to do in the draft, it's ridiculous.
So the Pats, say, go from 24 to 30 and acquire the 30 second-round pick?
I mean, just roll the dice. I mean, look at the situation. Any one of those two picks.
To me, that would be great
trade
for the Patriots.
Yeah. I mean, trades like that happen at the bottom of the first round all the time.
Yes. And it's just a matter of, you know, one team covets a certain player and just
and
has to get
them. The key players are quarterbacks, and I guess now John Beck and Drew Stanton and Edwards from Stanford, all these guys could go in the
late first.
So if a team like the Raiders passes on a quarterback and then wants to get back up in there, the Patriots are the team you can trade with.
No question. If the Raiders take Calvin Johnson, you could look at them maybe try to trade up late into the first round again because they have their eye on whatever quarterback is next and they don't want to lose him. And it could be interesting there.
Yeah, I mean, just as a total aside, too, if that were to happen, that whole scenario, and we've been reading a lot about it the last couple of days, that second tier of quarterbacks suddenly vaults itself into the late first round, that could be huge for the Patriots.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, huge for the Patriots, because obviously they're not
huge dividends for the following draft.
Yeah,
they're
obviously
season.
Not interested in any of those guys. They could either get a guy that they're not expecting to get down the bottom of the first round, or trade with one of these teams, like Andy just said,
effect.
Like Oakland, if they're at the top of the second round and they're like, wow, you know, I have my pick of the litter of Beck and Edwards and these guys that maybe I like a little bit, and I can trade with 28, and then that could be huge. Huge for the Patriots.
All right. Thank you, Robert.
Thank you, Robert.
Hey, you guys are great.
All right,
all right. Thank you. All right. That's Robert from Seattle.
Thank you, Robert.
First time caller, by the way.
Let's see.
Has he bought us food yet?
Webradio at Patriots.com. That's Webradio at Patriots.com. And just want to mention, if anyone's thinking of buying us food this weekend, there's no need. We'll be well fed next Wednesday.
Next Wednesday, we'd be happy to eat.
Emailed and offered food for the weekend.
Somebody did?
DG, Doug and Blackstone.
Oh, but we're okay for the weekend.
Thanks for the offer, but any Wednesday, we'd love to accept it then.
Yes, because we are shameless.
Because they give us tacos at the draft and other good food.
They will give us food at the draft.
I'm sure you all hear about it on the blog.
Check out the blog.
We don't have to whine about that.
That's what Andy will be writing about.
Well, that's what I'll be writing about, too, because you know he's going to stink us out of our little cubicle.
All right, let's keep it clean.
All right, let's get to some emails, shall we?
I want to know who cut the cheese.
Webradio@patriots.com is the email address, and first one comes from Craig in Boxborough, and he says, hello.
Is this the one I like or the one I hate?
I don't know.
This is the one you like, I think.
Hey, Craig, how are you?
He says, hello, A-Team and Fred or Frank. On our Roster Report podcast a couple weeks ago, Tom mentioned that the Pats might be shopping Nick Kazier for a linebacker, and he said that would possibly explain all these mocks that have popped up that have the Pats taking a tackle early. So I was just wondering who his potential suitors would be, and if they traded him for a draft pick, would Kazier be worth a third rounder since that is where he was originally selected? My guess would be no, but I don't think it hurts to ask. And congratulations to Paul and Andy on the birth of their children.
Thank you for the congratulations.
We'll let Tom handle the Nick Kazier question.
What happens on these podcasts when I take a week off, by the way?
Well, no, there was.
It goes to hell.
Apparently he was by himself because I don't remember.
Tom just starts throwing things out.
No, there's been reports that Cleveland was interested in Kazier, and Sean Thompson's name was brought up, the linebacker from Cleveland. And listen, let's be honest. We know that the team may not be that thrilled with Kazier.
Right.
So
be interested in seeing that report.
Trading him is not out of the realm of possibility.
No.
No, I don't think that they're in love with Kazier.
So
no.
So there's a very good chance they're shopping him around to teams.
Okay. But it's speculation.
Yeah, well, everything's speculation at
this point. Well, unless you have some inside information.
Well, which I don't.
Okay.
I never claimed to. I said there's been reports that he's been on the trading block.
Okay.
But
I didn't see that.
Information that they might not love him. So there you go.
Okay. Andy, you want to add anything?
No, I think that's it. I'll let Tom stand alone on this one.
Okay. Let's see. Reverend Ray says, I'm a little torn with this Fred Frank thing. On one hand, there's only so many times I can handle any given joke in a two-hour span. On the other hand, it's hilarious and seems to have an uncanny amount of staying power. Repetition is the mother of genius.
I agree.
Anyway.
Frank the Tank.
In all this pre-draft analysis, the word value and need come up a whole lot. I'm curious as to what you think about this hypothetical situation. The Pats are up to draft at 24. Ted Ginn or Alan Branch is on the board. Both are supposedly dropping despite their value. Neither is really a position the Pats need, but both are phenomenal values at 24. Is it better for the Pats to take the value at a non-need position or trade back? I assume some team would be hot to trade up for a talent like Ginn, much like we did for that blocking wide receiver last year.
I would take either one of those guys at 24 in a second.
I'd take Ginn. I think there is some need there for Ginn, so I think that vaults that pick up a little.
I'd take Branch.
I wouldn't.
I think both guys at 24 would be stealing.
Yeah,
so.
I agree.
But
now,
But the problem with that scenario is they're falling like rocks. Well, maybe there aren't a ton of teams looking to trade up to get them.
And they're not falling like rocks. That's all internet crap. There's no way Branch is going to be there at 24. None.
But it's an interesting. I think it's an interesting question he raises. You know, it's obviously what he's trying to say is it's a real value pick at a position that they don't really need.
Well, that's what Fred was saying.
Right. Well, Fred would take Branch. I mean, Fred. Right.
I think
you started the whole show with the lack of depth at defensive line, and Alan Branch just dropped into your lap at 24, and now you're not taking him?
Okay, maybe.
See, now,
I haven't looked at him enough.
Branch is a guy that I think that you'd have to think about because I think he's that good. Adam Carriker, I think, is okay.
Okay.
I would take Ginn. because I think he has special speed, especially the scenario he doesn't have to come in and dominate because you have restocked
so
at receiver.
Skinny.
That's usually how fast guys are.
I was going to say, there's not a lot of bulky wide receivers.
Johnson. Randy Moss isn't the strongest guy in the world, Fred.
No, right. he's
okay. Ted Ginn has ridiculous speed, and I think his return ability would be immediate. And I think he has a chance to be a pretty good receiver,
That's a good point. I think I could see, you know, worst
case
scenario.
I think he's
scenario,
an impact rookie.
Worst case scenario for Teddy Ginn, I think he's back deep returning punts opening day.
Yeah, he'll probably He'll probably score 2 to 4 touchdowns on returns next year.
Wow. I don't know about that, but.
You want to make a bet right now?
$100? Four touchdowns.
I said 2 to 4.
Okay, I'll bet you right now.
Okay, $100 cash. You heard it right here.
If he doesn't get more than two?
Two to four.
Tom goes right to the C note. He doesn't fool around.
I said
there's a big difference.
I used to bet $10
on Brian
Moore. It would take a day for him to decide whether or not to do it.
More than two.
And just returned.
So you said between 2 and 4, so let's go with 3.
Okay.
So if one or two, I win. Otherwise, you win.
Okay, and that's any kick.
Three's not a push.
Any return.
Three's not a push?
No, three, he wins.
Three's a win.
Three, I win.
Okay.
Three, he wins.
That's a lot of returns.
Right.
That's a bet.
How many did
kick or punt returns?
How many did Hall get his big year?
Like six.
Kansas
City. What did he get, 6?
Well, Hester had 6 last year.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
All right.
And I say Ginn's better than both of them combined.
So you also got to look at the at the weakened talent pool at special teams.
I say that's one of the dumbest things he's ever said, and that's a huge pool to pull from.
Why is it a weakened talent pool?
The talent across the league is thinner these days, so the special teams are naturally not as good as they used
Fred
to be.
Fred devaluing the Patriots' winning ways.
Absolutely.
Because there's no talent in the league,
that's
so
a good,
it's not impressive
that's
that they're winning.
Bet. That's a good bet that we can track here on PFW in progress.
Okay.
With my luck, I'll probably have that lost by like week 3.
C-note.
C-note on returns.
All right.
Checks?
Huh?
You take checks?
I only take cash.
You take debit cards?
I saw you doing your bills upstairs. I don't trust you.
He was doing more crazy things than Enron up there. Paper shredding, moving money. Yang Z of Shanghai from London says, first of all, a big shout out to the Red Sox for the 4 consecutive home runs and sweep. That was something, wasn't it? Were you guys watching that?
Yes.
Were they playing the Yankees? Yes.
That 4 home runs in a row. That was amazing.
Yep.
I'd never seen that before.
It's only happened like 6 times.
Hasn't happened since September of last year.
I'd never seen
it. Yeah,
it
only happened 5. I think it's 5 times.
Buenas noches, amigos.
In the history of baseball.
How about J.D. Drew has done
it
in consecutive seasons?
Involved twice in consecutive months of the season. September and then April of the next year.
That is amazing. Second, it was wrong to label the Red Sox not playing the anthem as communism. Before going to that, I need to correct you guys that China is hardly communism anymore, and I guess Frank probably had a feeling about that during his stay. Now back to the anthem. In China...
You keep telling yourself that, by the way.
In China, it is actually played before virtually every single pro sports game, so the Red Sox couldn't even qualify for the so-called communism. I don't know.
So they're worse than communists. I don't know. What's worse than communists?
Communism is an economic... philosophy.
And China is that.
I was sort of alluding to the fact that they were getting away from the patriotic and democratic principles of our country by not playing the anthem.
Yeah.
And communist was the way to sort of bring that up.
I mean,
I didn't mean they were
they
really communist.
They still control communists. The press. You know, well, anyway, there's no true anything. There's no true capitalism. There's no true communism. It's all a mixture of everything.
If you're controlling the information that's out there, you are communist. There's no other way to get around it.
So the Patriots are communists.
Exactly.
Okay.
And if you're listed in Parade Magazine's list of top 10 dictators at number 4 and you're China, you're bad.
Third, and back to the Patriots, Pro Football Talk reported on Sunday that a league source told them the Patriots will draft inside linebacker David Harris with the 28th pick.
Tom
and said, write it down. While I probably won't question
that
the Patriots really
it's
like
you.
Harris, I reckon it is more likely and sensible that they trade up from 24 to secure, say, Nelson, and then trade down from 28 to get Harris. Or if Nelson slips to 24, they would probably trade down from 28 to pick Harris and pick up an extra third or fourth round pick. What's your take on the report?
Well, did you read that, Fred?
I read the report.
Tell me it didn't sound like Tom Casale. Someone who is preparing for the draft as much as anyone.
It wasn't me.
Tom works very hard at preparing for the draft, and then it says, write it down. I mean, that's book it. Tom Casale.
Yeah, but I would have said book it, and I would have used David Harris.
He told Florio, I would say book it, but you don't use those words.
That'll be incriminating. Go with write it down.
At what point in one of my mock drafts have you seen David Harris? None.
Interesting.
One thing to kind of contradict. Well, I wouldn't say contradict, but let's throw a little cold water in the face of that theory. What if the Jets, for example, at 25, really like David Harris? And you'd have to think if the Patriots like him, the Jets would like him because they're looking for the same kind of players.
Eric Mangini doesn't know anything.
So I'm not so sure you could wait till 28 to get Harris. And if you do, I don't know how much more you want to be trading down from 28 to try to get him. I think if you truly identify him as a player like Tom Casale has on Pro Football Talk, book it. I think you have to go after
him. Don't you agree that any player at 28 to say write it down is crazy? There's 27 picks before that.
Yes, right. I totally.
Maybe someone at 21 likes David Harris. We don't know. Bills proved that last year.
I did read the report, but I forget the exact word. Was it if he's available, they will absolutely pick him? Or
I don't know, Tom. What was it exactly?
I don't know if it said that. But clearly, that's what he means. Yeah. I mean, obviously, if he goes 16, he's not wrong.
Right.
You know, he wasn't available.
And that's
why the guy's available.
It was on Pro Football Talk because it's something that can't be wrong, and that's what they do.
Well, it can be wrong if he's available and they don't take him.
Right.
Then he's wrong.
Then Tom was wrong.
Ben from Boxborough says.
So this is the guy I hate.
Tom, I would just like to report that Tom Casale. You have the world's largest muscles. Seriously, I'm no longer going to challenge you in Madden because if I beat you, I would be scared for my life and my family. I saw that Patriots today, and I couldn't help but laugh the whole time how effing jacked you are.
Whoa.
Maybe you could give the new guy, Frank, a little PFW orientation by showing him who's boss.
Well, you've heard it, Andy.
Frank needs to work out.
The people have spoken.
P.S., when does Fred get back from China? Or is he not coming back to the show? Not that I want him back. I kind of like this Frank guy, but he's a bit of a homer like the last guy.
Not that I want him back.
Andy's been on Patriots Today before. No one's been talking about your muscles.
I've actually never been on Patriots Today.
You've been on.
Incredibly shrinking man.
See, that's
plus,
the
mine's
thing.
Functional no, strength. Anytime you want to bench off, I'll play.
But that's the thing, though.
Well, you can bench more than him?
Right, of course. Now we can. I'm an old man, and I have a bad
shoulder. You pick
shoulder.
An exercise, and I'll do more weight than him except legs.
What about leg lift?
I don't do legs.
First of all, you don't want to.
It's a waste of time.
That's why you wear
waste of time.
You don't want to pick any to hide your legs.
First, Fred, here's the thing.
Zubas and
when you're natural like me, you stay big. But when you're not natural like Andy, you shrink. That's the difference.
Right.
Not natural.
That is kind of true.
Not natural.
That might be the funniest thing I've ever.
You know why he's so big? He benefits from the what do you take? Insulin. That helps him out.
Yeah, that helps him.
It does.
He's benefiting from his diabetes.
Oh,
absolutely.
About
that's a plus
that.
On your
take
side, Tom.
Diabetes.
Yeah. He does. Bodybuilders take insulin.
That's the cry of the truly desperate, right there, Fred.
He's blaming your being big on having diabetes.
Yes.
Wow. Wow.
You didn't mishear that, folks. That's what Andy Hart said.
It is what it is.
And I'm blaming him shrinking on steroids.
I saw Tom talking to some players in the locker room. They were wondering if they could use his prescriptions to get some stuff.
Oh, all of a sudden, he walked by a certain tight end and said, hey, what's that pump you got there?
Ben Watson. Work? It's funny. He's got one of them now.
It's just a repetition counter.
Now Andy's accusing other people of taking steroids.
Yeah, pretty much.
Just kidding.
Webradio@patriots.com. This one comes from Jay. He says, with the possibility of picking up a back to alleviate Maroney from the full workload, what's your opinion on Alabama's LaRon McClain? I know he's a fullback and isn't your ideal type of back to carry the ball, but he's a big and a heck of a lead blocker and can catch the ball as demonstrated in his time at Alabama.
I don't see any possible fit here. He's what the guy said. He's a lead blocking fullback. The Patriots don't have those kind of guys. He's like a Lorenzo Neal who can catch the ball probably a little bit better. So I just wouldn't see – like I saw Todd McShay had the fullback from Virginia coming here in his seventh. I just – they don't take those.
That would be a shift from
fullbacks.
What they do.
Yeah.
In the seventh round he did?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I don't ever want to draft a fullback. I mean, a pure fullback, like Tom says, a lead blocking type, you know, an extra guard. I don't ever want to draft
a shift from what they
do.
Unless they're
going to
scheme, the way they build a roster, how they use roster spots on offense.
Now, if you took a guy like Brian Leonard somewhere and.
Right. Well, totally, yeah.
He's a totally different case. So I don't want to open myself up. Well, you said they would never take. Those guys, like even Lorenzo Neal, when he was drafted as a running back. He was a very productive guy in college who got a little bit bigger, a little bit slower, and then he suddenly became a battering ram of a fullback who could catch the ball a little bit.
That's how I get my fullbacks. They're running backs who couldn't quite make it.
Right.
Dwayne Dwayne Wright.
No
from
question.
Fresno State would be one of those guys.
Oh, I liked him a lot.
Yeah.
I liked him a lot.
Well, go to the draft block. You might see him as one of our six-round picks.
How would I
one of our
that?
Nine picks. Oh, wait, we had 10?
Jay also talks about the Pro Football Talk
I was
report.
Cutting pasting.
That had the Patriots taking Harris. We've talked about that.
At least I'm putting in the effort.
And he finally says, keep up the good work. I'd buy you guys lunch, but it would cost me double for phone rates. Plus, this new Frank guy seems shifty to me. I'm not sure I'd be comfortable buying lunch for a guy who has such a striking similarity with Fred.
Whoa, double for phone rates. You ever hear of a cell phone?
Yeah.
Don't you have, like, free?
Well, international call, though. He's from the U.K.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I thought Sorry he was from Boxborough.
Can you email in orders at Papa Gino's around here? Some places do email orders.
Oh, yeah?
Look into that.
Well, there's also Skype. You should get Skype.
Oh, I have Skype.
You have Skype?
Yeah.
What's
wow.
that?
Look at this guy never, with the high tech.
Never heard that word.
Are you telling
life?
Me I pay
I
for that?
I have no idea what it is.
What?
Do I pay for that?
It's a little bit, but very, very, very
so,
little.
So Andy will no longer have
free.
Skype?
It's mostly,
mostly free or free?
Well, there's some services.
Because I'm pretty sure Deidre sold me on it was free.
No. Some services use the technology, and it's just a very minimal monthly payment.
Can you tell
and
me what it is?
It's unlimited calling. It's basically calling over the internet, and it's free, basically. It's like, I don't know, how would you describe
Andy,
it?
Andy, why do you have that?
Well, so what would you need
why?
It for?
Who should
I don't
call?
Know. I don't really know how, why we have
download,
it.
You need to download the software into your cell phone, right?
I don't really know how to use it. I yeah. know we have it, and when I go online, jeez. There's a little Skype thing that goes.
I didn't know his muscles shrunk his yeah. balls, too. I mean,
Can we put the brakes on this and back up a little bit? Why do you need it?
Because free phone calls.
It's free phones.
For what?
So is my cell phone.
For what? You use a phone? That's
well, this
what
is like
for,
international, too, and I don't know how
but
it works.
Who are you calling that's international?
I don't understand.
I'm assuming
why do I
it was when her sister was in Japan, oh. but I don't know.
Now, that's a very valid reason.
I have my China calls.
Are you just talking about overseas calls?
No, it's any call, really. Isn't
why
it?
Are you calling China from home? Isn't that a
business
call?
I was on a conference call from 9 to 10.
So you don't pay any phone home? You don't pay any phone bill?
Nope.
You just pay for so you pay a minimal fee.
I don't
every
even
month,
know.
So
I don't even know if it's even
what's
a fee?
Minimal fee? $2 a month?
I don't even know.
So you pay $2 a month for your phone?
SKYPE.
And you pay $2.
Doctor, find out what the deal is with Skype.
You pay nothing for phone?
Jason Dvorkin's here.
I'm intrigued
Gary's
by this.
Gone.
I think it's a scam.
Do you know what Skype is, Doc? No? SKYPE.
Now, if the doc doesn't know, he's pretty technologically
savvy.
Paul,
don't you think
savvy.
If you could pay $2 for a phone,
that everybody
the whole
would
world
do it?
Would have it?
Well, that's what I'm getting
well,
at.
But you have to have a high-speed
well,
internet
you heard about Vonage,
first,
right?
I do.
Yeah. Vonage is voice over IP. You can have it in your house. You got to buy a special phone, but it's not that expensive. It's like $24 a month, unlimited call anywhere.
So
the problem is
mine's
they're being sued now for Verizon for patent
calls.
Infringement, and the courts aren't letting take any more.
And the other problem is the quality's terrible.
And I'm just lost. I pay $30
no, not
a month
all the
from
time.
Verizon.
I get
for
a guy
who's got
that.
So you're paying,
Vonage,
you're saving $5.
And I've
bucks.
Had calls with him dropped.
Well,
a ton.
Skype. $29.95 a month for calls to the U.S. and Canada.
I don't think
but the calls
that.
Are free to anybody else who has Skype.
Ah. So if you're calling
so
other
the three,
people.
So the three other people that you call that have this thing that no one ever
well,
heard of.
Well, the kids all have it.
All right,
kids
Fred, stop talking. Stop talking for a second.
So $29.95. How much more than that do you pay for your phone?
I pay $29.95 for Verizon for unlimited calls. So why am I getting
but
Skype?
This is
you
international.
Pay less than that. Do you have the Comcast?
Yeah.
Then I pay less than that, too.
This is for international.
How come you guys are paying? Well, I'm paying. Oh, jeez, I'm getting ripped off.
Yes.
Yeah,
we just depressed
package,
Fred.
Though, right?
You, yeah.
guys, you guys are missing. It's the international. That's their selling thing, is that you
right.
can call
right,
international.
Right, which I don't have any
because the internet is
that's
like
why I said when
international.
When you mentioned the thing when Tracy and Dan are in
I'm going to the bathroom.
Pretty much anybody can get free calls in the U.S.
Why are you getting mad? We can't talk about the draft 24-7, Tom.
Oh, I'm mad at Fred trying to tell me he's saving money with this thing when we're all paying the same amount of money for our phones.
Well,
yeah, but
apparently
I'm
he's
getting
not.
Ripped
I
off.
Have to go to the bathroom.
I'm getting ripped off.
Going to shoot up?
My Comcast phone bill is like $60 a month.
You're getting hosed.
Are you kidding me?
No.
Wait, do you have the high speed?
Yeah.
And the
I got
cable?
The high speed. I got the cable.
Did
and
you
I got
bundle
the
it?
And it's all bundled?
It's all bundled.
It shouldn't be costing you that much.
All right,
mine's like $122 for the three of them, and that includes my DVR and my HD and
now,
all
mine's
that
more than that because I have HBO right. and some of the things that Andy doesn't have, but... it's only like $160.
I pay over $200 a month.
You're getting screwed.
But I have
hello,
lot.
Mr. Comcast. Oh.
I have a lot of premium channels. I
that is a shock.
You know the sports stuff, Fox Sports, and all that.
Yeah, I get
I'm pretty
Fox
sure
sports.
I have all those.
No. There's a Fox. There's the
you have the soccer channel.
Oh, well, maybe you have some more premium
college,
channels than I have.
The college sports channel. Do you have the college sports channel?
I don't.
Channel?
Bottom
channel.
Bottom line is you're getting screwed, I think.
I think I am.
It sounds like
does it come
screwed.
On one bill?
No. The phone
you're getting
definitely
screwed.
Getting screwed.
It's supposed to come on
mine
one bill.
On
crying out loud.
Because you don't really
bill.
Have...
Yeah, you got a bundle.
You don't have digital internet. I mean digital phone. It says it's digital, but it's not.
Is that right?
Because they come and they put a modem in your house.
Yeah.
And it's truly digital. You can go online to the website, get your voicemail online. It plays in Real Player. All this stuff.
Yeah.
One downside, just so you know.
I'm really so mad that I could leave right now and call them.
Well, let me tell you the downside that they don't tell you when you order it. You lose your phone if you lose power. That's the only downside, just if you care about that.
And the other thing.
It's not a landline.
Well, it's a landline.
Well, that
it's
could
because
happen
the
to you
modem
you,
has no power.
And that could happen to you if you lose power anyway in turn, if you only have cordless phones.
Right.
And I, no, only, that's, I right. only have cordless phones
no,
in my
I have
house.
One phone that's not, just in
but
case.
But you'd
yeah.
lose it anyway if you because the modem
you go
has
through
to,
the modem.
And because I noticed that I have a battery backup on my computer, so when we lost power, the phone still worked, but then when the battery died or whatever,
yeah.
then I lost my phone because the modem has to be powered.
The only thing I would say negative is I don't think it's a great phone service.
Really?
It's okay, but I don't think, you know, I seem like I have more problems now than I did before.
Really? Like what?
Yeah. I mean, like minor things. Like once in a while, like you can't get into my voicemail. Once in a while, you know, I'll just pick up the phone and make a call and there'll be no, you know, no dial tone. Minor things
that
once in a while, little
hiccups.
Mine's
really minor. I hate that you can't, you told me about it, you can't delete the voicemail till the end.
Oh, I hate that.
Wow.
If somebody leaves like a 20-minute voicemail, you have to wait till the end before
you
can delete it.
You can't just
hit 7 twice.
Twice? Well, I'll try it.
Jackpot.
And I also can't access my voicemail on one of my cordless phones for whatever reason.
I got to make a phone call.
I don't know, but the emails are coming. It was vacuum cleaners. Now it's phone service.
All right. Phil from Nova Scotia wants to congratulate Andy.
Thank you, Phil.
And his wife on the birth of his baby.
Thank you, Phil.
So, Jackson, right?
Jackson. Jackson Hart.
Did he have a middle name?
Roderick.
Roderick.
With a G.
Okay.
Not a D.
Because I'm in the process of getting both you and Paul something, but it's not done yet. Let's see.
Which apparently has their middle name in it.
Josh. You
have football jerseys? That'd be cool.
Josh.
Although the full name on the back there would look a little funky.
Josh in South Korea.
We're just huge today. I guess he's not ordering food either.
Again, he would like to congratulate.
Unless he has Skype.
He would like to congratulate Paul and Andy on their new additions to the families.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And again, he's another one that read Pro Football Talk.
Tom.
And wants to talk about the value of that pick.
Tom's thinking to himself, I didn't think anybody read that site. I thought Andy and Paul were the only two morons that read it.
Listen, Andy, I'm sorry that you're down to 201 pounds. That's what happens when you get off the juice.
He wants to talk about the value of the pick. People always talk about the value that the Pats get in their drafts. I recall last year when the Pats traded up in the second round to pick Chad Jackson, people raved about the value they got in the pick.
Who?
When supposedly
they were that was definitely me.
Andy Hart was walking down the aisle with Chad Jackson.
I went back and read our blog from last year, and my Sunday morning post was, I slept on it, I ate it, I digested it, and it's still a steal.
How'd that work out for you?
They were even thinking about drafting Jackson with their 21st pick in the first round.
I even named
my
kid after him.
If the Pats do end up picking Harris in the 28th, how would experts evaluate the pick? Would it be considered somewhat of a reach? Also, how well do you think Harris would fit in the Patriots system?
I think that's exactly where he should go, between the 28 to 35 range. So I don't think it would be a reach or a steal.
He's a late first, early second kind of player.
Experts would rave about it because they don't criticize the Patriots. I don't think they do.
I think to an
extent. I think Mel Kiper and Mike Mayock are on board. They pretty much rave about
Borges
everything.
When is Borges' suspension over?
Yeah, he seems like he's been gone for 6 months.
I think to an extent, Andy's kind of right about that.
They're scared because they feel like if they rip them, they're going to look
bad.
And
it's not just, I don't want to make this sound like it's a Patriots thing, because it's not just the Patriots, but there are certain teams that have developed a reputation to be good at it. Baltimore.
The Eagles.
You know, Philadelphia, Denver. It seems like those teams can really do no wrong. Like right. Ozzie Newsome is a great draft. And I think I don't want to take away from Ozzie Newsome. I think he does do a good job.
Who?
Does do a good job.
But they won't criticize the pick
right.
because of that.
Yeah.
Because you
mean,
feel I think they feel
they
like they're playing a dangerous game.
You know, it was funny. Last year I went back and you talked about looking at the blog. I looked at a post-draft issue from last year, and we had the grades. Right at the beginning of the draft spread, we do kind of an overall recap of the draft, and we have like what they were saying about our draft. And all the grades were strong from all national guys. And we had the Goose do one of them, Rick Gosselin. And he had a positive comment, but his grade was a C, which I thought was
tough
somewhat
grader.
Strange. Didn't necessarily match his comment, the grade, but...
Well, they didn't draft any special teamers.
He was like the only right. He was like the only guy that didn't necessarily get on board, because I think Andy's right. I think a lot of these guys, they see what the Patriots do. You know, like Logan Mankins, they made that pick, and no one really thought of Logan Mankins as a first-round pick, and suddenly national guys were falling all over themselves. The Patriots have done it again. They've you know they turned out to be right about that pick, but that's, you know, they were kind of blindly supportive of it.
Right.
Of it.
I mean, Pete Prisco maybe would criticize. He's a guy that I think is sort
and
of
he's
a,
wrong the opposite
right,
way. Because
right.
he's like Borges. He's just going to criticize for the sake of criticizing.
Borges, if he's back, would probably criticize. Or he'll
probably.
Just cut and paste, or he'll just cut and paste Pete Prisco's and put that out there. Love you, Ron.
Shot from Andy Hart.
Russell from the OC says, congrats to Paul and Andy.
Thanks, Charlie.
And he says, let's all breathe a sigh of relief. Now that the cumbersome contract of Sean Boobin is gone.
Oh,
that really
a lot of
frees
cap
up
space.
A lot of space. A
lot,
of
cap space.
Space.
Well, I can't say I dropped a tear or two upon reading of his retirement. So as draft day approaches, I'd be willing to bet that they do a trade involving Samuel. It would seem obvious that they're going to trade him. It just seems if they really wanted to get a contract done, they would have hammered it out by now. So with a million scenarios possible, what do you guys feel is the must fill need this year, and how do they sit cap wise over the next few years? Thanks for such a great show. Thanks for Frank for hiring Casale. Don't even want to imagine this show without him. And not
I
to forget,
either.
It was equally a good show as well, letting Andy back after he quit unceremoniously.
Hey.
Frank's brilliant moves have made the synergy of this show second to none.
I agree with that. But how would you like to be Corey Dillon, though? Here you go and try to retire, and Sean Boobin stealing the spotlight
right.
from you. Well, I think we all think linebacker. We've been saying it over and over.
I think linebacker is the need inside more than outside.
I'd put cornerback up there, too.
What do you
Because I'm not sure how the Samuel scenario plays out.
Well, I wanted to get into that a little bit because I think the Patriots, if nothing else, learn from themselves. They learn from their history. They learn from their mistakes. Okay. I would be very surprised to see them roll the dice and let something play out again in terms of Samuel, you know, this situation hanging over their head all the way to training camp.
Yeah.
I don't think it's that out of the realm of possibility that something gets done here definitively around the draft or shortly thereafter because I don't see them sitting there and saying, well, we hold all the cards. They really don't. They really don't hold all the cards. They have, I mean, clearly... In the NFL, the player has little leverage, but this isn't a holdout. He's not under contract.
Right.
That's a key distinction here. Deion Branch rolled the dice last year with the threat hanging over his head that he could get fined heavily.
Right.
Samuel can't.
He can't find him.
Can't find a guy who's not under contract.
Right.
So whereas Samuel doesn't really have a whole lot of options.
He just hold his rights. That's all.
Right. So I think this is something that I think a lot of people initially, the knee-jerk reaction from the media on this case is, well, the Patriots hold all the cards, and I don't necessarily
they
think
do
that's
hold
the case.
Cards. And so, I mean, if he doesn't play, he doesn't get paid, and if he wants to come back next year, the Patriots again still have his rights,
right.
So they could franchise him again, and it could be an endless.
I think it's interesting that
he has to play before he can get his free agency.
Deion went on Sirius Radio and thinks Samuel will play. Here this year.
I think he will
because
too.
He said in my situation there wasn't a lot of money that I was going to lose. Even the fines wasn't
right.
ridiculous amount
He's
of money.
Losing $8 million.
Asani Samuel could stand to lose just under eight million dollars. And from Deion's perspective, that's too much money to just leave dangling out there.
And not only that, but to further illustrate that point, Deion had made a little money
right.
in his first 4 years. Samuel hasn't. Samuel has been around a minimum salary guy. He didn't get a $1.whatever million signing bonus as a fourth round pick like Branch did as a second round pick. Samuel hasn't made any money, whereas Branch at least had a little
right.
to say I can roll the dice here and go for a lot. Samuel might have a harder time walking away from a lot more money than Branch did.
That's why I think the Patriots kind of do hold the cards, though, because for what you said, it's so much money. It's hard to leave that out there and just say, well, I'm going to sit it out because he was a fourth-round pick. If he's a first-round
right.
pick, maybe you rethink that.
No,
especially
like I said,
to sit it out and there's no light at the end of the tunnel. You could be sitting out indefinitely.
You know what I mean? If the way the system worked was you sat out and you were automatically a free agent the following year, then I think there's a risk there. The player goes, you know what? I'll give up a year to be a free agent.
Well, if I'm
but Sam, he gives up a year for nothing.
To save face, I think if I was Samuel or his agent, I'd go to the Patriots and say, look, I'll play. I'll be a good soldier. I'll shut my mouth. I'll be at every, you know, off-season conditioning program from this point on. But in writing, I want you to tell me that you promised not to franchise me next year.
And there's no way they're going to do that.
Why wouldn't they?
I just don't think they operate that way.
Well, just to throw this out there, there's some people believe that happened with Adam Vinatieri, that they promised not to franchise.
Well, there was another player in another team that they did that. Who was the team that promised?
Yeah, but we're not talking about another team. We're talking about the Patriots. I mean, there's a big difference.
But that's
there.
True. That's,
a lot of teams do a lot of things that I don't think the Patriots would do.
And that would be what Andy just said. That would be contradictory to the point that I was just trying to make. So that's relevant.
But there was,
I don't think the Patriots would do it, but if he says they've already done it.
Apparently, Michael Felger has heard, believes, was told, whatever, that they made that deal with Adam Vinatieri, that they would not franchise him.
I started the whole thing. I don't want to make this out to be that I say that Samuel is holding the cards, because I don't think that's the case. I think that in the NFL, the team has more leverage than the players. However, I just don't think it's this overwhelming thing that Samuel might as well not waste his time with this because he doesn't have any leverage. I think he has plenty of leverage.
What about
if you're going to put hot peppers in a sandwich, put them in.
Okay.
Don't just give me a little.
All right.
What about
Asante Samuel?
What about Asante Samuel's mentality? What do you think his mentality is? Is he being led by an agent?
He's got a tattoo that says get paid.
He's
been thinking about this day from day one.
I agree with Tom.
But does
I mean Tom and
But
Fred.
Does he have the mentality at some point mid July go, F it. I'll play this year. I'll show them and have a better year. I mean, knowing his personality a little bit, we don't really know it. But
yeah, I think that's ultimately probably what he will do.
Because
he'll come back around, you know, training camp or maybe the middle of training camp. Sign the tender,
and
play,
get his money.
and hope that they don't franchise him again next year.
I think he plays, too.
I think that's probably what he'll do.
Cocky. I think he's a true cornerback. His ego gets in there at some point. That's also why if my football people told me he was good, if last year wasn't an aberration, I don't think he's a guy that falls off the map. I still think he's driven by ego. He wants to be Champ Bailey and Asante Samuel. He wants to be known as a Pro Bowler.
I agree with that. I don't think that – I think that's an overrated thing. Because I think these players are so image conscious. That
some of them. I mean, I think there's some that
are
just...
I think there's guys that get fat and lazy. I'm not saying it's a non-factor, but I think it's overrated. I think we put that label on guys more often than it probably deserves to be, in my opinion.
Right.
I think that these guys are so image conscious and so cocky, and they would rather retire than admit that they lost their skills.
Right. Or retire than let some guy beat him for a touchdown.
Yeah.
I think that's the bottom line. They're
the
same
Buckley
guy they were in middle school. They would be embarrassed if a guy scores on them.
And that would
fake a hamstring injury.
And that would mean that's a good point too, Fred. They would come up with an injury rather than admit that they
lost
their
skills.
No.
Well, I don't think you would talk
took
about
the guy
you.
A year and a half to come back from that injury.
That was make it look good.
That was a groin injury. But my point being, these guys, I don't think, would go out there and say, well, I got my money now. I'm just going to lay down.
Right.
You want to be the best, especially cornerbacks with that whole
mentality.
You don't
just lose that competitive edge that got you there.
Right, unless you're Tiki Barber.
Well, there's some guys, yeah. Let's see. Karthik says the final week leading to the draft, and I guess everyone is excited to see the new Patriots. It's a good idea for you guys to start a blog, and we are looking forward to your comments on the picks. Going with the need. Pat should pick a safety/cornerback/linebacker in the first two picks.
Aaron Rouse?
But I guess, like last year, every team is going to pick on the defense guys, and there will not be much left on the table. So, my pick is going to be like this. Keep 24 and pick a safety/corner, depending on the player's value. I foresee them making a trade on draft day to move a few places down from 28 and pick Lawrence Timmons or David Harris. A running back and wide receiver will be picked in the first day. Tailpiece, he says. I don't know what this means, but rumors suggest some teams might pick Samardzija in the sixth or seventh round. Do you think Patriots will do that by using one of their 4 6-round choices?
No.
I don't think that would be a very smart pick.
I don't
because
think Bill wastes picks.
I think it's a wasted pick because I think that he just got a lot of money to play baseball.
Right, he'd have to pay him back.
And for him within a year to decide – that he's going to go football now means he has to pay the Cubs back a lot of money, and I don't see him doing it that quickly.
And has anything happened to force him into that? Like, I mean, I could see if he, say he tore a ligament in his elbow that prevented him from pitching again, but he can still play.
Nothing that I'm aware of.
And he's come out and said, I'm playing baseball.
Right. This as he should.
You know, and, right. And Drew Henson played for, what, 3-4 years?
Right. That's what I'm saying. You give it a chance. You don't give that money back without giving it a run. He'd have to do it within a year because the Patriots would only hold his draft rights for until next year's draft unless, you know, no one drafted him again or whatever. There's some different rules there. But I think in the sixth round, seventh round, I would rather take the whatever 10% chance that I get a really good player than waste it on some Russia. Yeah.
I don't think there's any chance they
this
do that.
This a Moby kid. He's 18 Okoye. Now. He's going to be 19. You know, once the season starts, he'll be the youngest player drafted this year.
Yep.
Is he a project, or do you think he'll play right away?
He can play right away, but I think you won't get his best until 2 years
right.
out.
They're projecting his dominance.
Yeah, yes. I don't think he'll be great right away. But he'll
be serviceable right away.
Okay.
And then, you know, you're looking at 2 years down the line, this guy could be unstoppable.
You know, it's funny. You just brought up, the whole 19, you know, his age. And I just think it's a little hypocritical of that whole rule. You know, it's 3 years removed from your high school graduating class.
Right.
Well, isn't it really supposed to be about we don't want young kids coming out of high school and they're not old enough, they're not strong enough, they're not big. You know, here's a 19-year-old kid. Went through full 4 year of college, right. So he's okay.
You know
I
what
think
it
really it's also
is, you know what it really is, Paul? The scouts don't want a bigger pool of stuff that they have to scout. That's what it is. It's laziness.
But it's really hypocritical in that
that's a good point.
We don't want young kids who aren't ready for the league to be in the league, but part of his increased value is that he projects to get better.
Right.
You know what
right.
I mean? His potential.
Which is it?
I think it's just like
if you ask all the personnel directors, why do you think so many underclassmen get taken early?
Right.
Because they want the young guy.
They want that extra year.
Of course.
Yeah.
I think that's very
But I think now, I don't think there'll be much budge on the
You're
current
usually
rules.
Wrong.
I don't think there will be much budging on the current rules, though, now, because safety is getting to be a bigger and bigger and bigger issue. So
you're saying money's behind this?
A little bit. Well, getting sued and all that. Yeah. Let's see. Shannon from wherever he is. He's from
Iowa.
He's the guy with the girlfriend, right?
He's in Iowa, Shannon.
Is he? Okay. He says, finally, draft week is here. I'm getting geared up for the big day. Ribs, T-bones, chicken, pork chops, plenty of booze and beer. And all the other fixins are being stockpiled for my Saturday draft party.
That sounds pretty good.
And he's not from Iowa. He makes fun of the guy from
Iowa.
I thought they were both from Iowa.
I thought Shannon was from Seattle or Washington or something.
I think he used to live in Iowa or something. He's from the West Coast.
He's from the Pacific Northwest or something.
The nice thing is that all my sea chicken buddies, that's right, he's from Seattle, conveniently found something better to do that day. Oh, that's right, they don't have a first-round draft pick. Anyways, it should be a good time, but I wanted to run past you a list of draft predictions for the Pats. I made a checklist for Saturday and Sunday to see if I could actually predict any picks, and more importantly, to see if I'd did better than any of the so-called experts with their draft predictions on the internet. Do you guys see any chance of any of these picks coming through? He's got 1A, Reggie Nelson.
Sure.
Possible.
I think there's a chance.
1B, David Harris.
Possible. Sure.
A lot of people think that.
Tom is booking it.
Write it down.
Round 3, Chris Henry, the running back of Arizona.
No.
I don't like him.
Listen, that we should talk about him. This guy stunk. Stunk. In college, he's an upright runner. Now all of a sudden, he's got a nice physique. He goes and runs a fast 40, and everyone's thinking he's going to go in round 3. Forget about it. Round 5 at the earliest.
Four. But a running back in round 3 is
sure
is plausible.
Fourth round, Terrell Brown, cornerback out of Texas.
He sucks.
5.
I
he's
agree.
Got the linebacker out of Brown University, Zach Diassi.
I don't know if he'll be there in the 5, but if he is, there's a definite possibility.
Okay, 6A, Marshall Yanda. Guard tackle out of Iowa.
Oh, yeah.
Andy likes
him. Oh, yeah. Definitely a chance. A lot of connections here.
6B.
I say he signs early, too, if they draft him.
I was going to say, I got to look at my list. I have it right here. I don't think I liked him as much
6B,
as you.
6B, Steve Breeston, wide receiver out of Michigan.
I don't like him at all.
Picks.
6C, Daniel Sepulveda.
Yes. There's a chance.
The
at 6? Oh, yeah. There's
this
a chance.
The punter.
Big leg.
6D, this is kind of a reach. Jordan Palmer, the quarterback out of UK.
No, I wouldn't say that. It's a possibility.
I'm only kidding. I like it.
I think
people,
he stinks.
Sixth
but...
round, that's a reach.
Oh, my bad. I liked him.
That's the other
guy from Iowa I didn't like.
And finally, the 7th pick, he's got Chris Demon, tackle Denman, out of Fresno
State. Yeah. Yep. Oh, yeah, definitely a chance there.
Yeah, if you get the Terrell Brown is awful.
I think he was one of the worst players I rated.
He's awful.
I haven't gotten a Texas yet.
And I think
Fred, I'm down to the last two discs, though.
And I don't like running backs who run for 500 yards in college when you have Tony Hunt, Lorenzo Booker, and guys like that you can take. I'm not a big Henry guy.
The only thing is, if they sit tight, I don't think you're going to be able to get a guy like Tony Hunt in the third round. So,
are some of these guys going to go higher than they should because of the lack of depth at running back?
I think so.
Go in the second round when maybe they really should be a third round pick because there's no in between.
Because
you go from Peterson and Lynch to Booker, who a third down back maybe. Do you really take him in the second round?
Well, I think after Peterson and Lynch, it's scattered all over the board.
Let me ask you this.
Bunch of teams that don't like Booker.
People might jump in the second round because they said, I don't know.
You would think
be
teams
there.
Would stop doing stuff like that, especially at that position because, of the proven track record of lower round guys. But I know they're not the same kind of guy because Maurice Jones-Drew is a lot thicker. Mm-hmm. But do you think that he maybe has opened the door for guys like Booker and some of those other smaller guys?
I actually think Booker could develop into a Tiki Barber kind of guy. Where for the first 3 or 4 years, he splits and he's the third down back. And then once he gets his opportunity, he ends up being better than people thought he was.
Because Jones-Drew last year at this time was thought of to be Lorenzo Booker right now. Mm-hmm. A nice scat back, third down type, small, change of pace, and he proved to be more than that as a rookie.
That turned out to be Reggie Bush.
Let's see. It's funny. The last one was from the guy in Seattle, Shannon, the guy that he makes fun of all the time, Sawyer from Waterloo, Iowa, is writing in. First, sincere congratulations for Paul and Andy. Second,
Thank you.
Europe have their crappy football. If they catch a glimpse of real football, they will want us to go over there more often. Why do you think they're sending the Giants and Dolphins? Good one. Third, we should all stop calling Fred Frank. It has to be driving Shannon crazy. I haven't got a chance to respond to his bragging about going to an Iowa game this fall. Joke's on you, Shannon. You are flying halfway across the country to see a second-rate team probably get beat.
True.
I mean, whose side are you guys on? Shannon the douchebag, I think it should be douchebag, or me, the guy who subscribed to PFW yesterday and is going to buy food for you guys either
for
the draft
on your side.
Or
so here it is.
Show, whichever you guys
Sawyer,
prefer.
Sawyer,
we like Sawyer.
Sorry, Shannon, you douchebag.
Actually, it was douchebag. I'm going with exactly what Sawyer says.
If you guys could go out on a limb, could each of you say what you think we are going to do with the first picks? And thanks so much for all you guys do. Let me know when you guys want your food. And I am looking forward to the PFWs.
Linebacker safety.
No.
Next Wednesday.
Yeah, bring the food.
I got to be honest. I don't know.
On Friday, we'll have it.
Linebacker safety. That's what I'm going with.
Lamar Woodley,
who's a dominant player, except for the very last piece of footage I watched, where Joe Thomas treated him like his personal
match. I got news for you. Joe Thomas didn't do that all game.
He didn't?
No. And nobody blocked Alan Branch in that game. Nobody.
I wasn't watching him.
Let's see, Joe.
Fred's going to draft Alan Branch.
Joe from Winnipeg,
down,
Manitoba.
We've talked about him a lot today.
He says, excellent work this offseason. The draft analysis has been fantastic. The draft edition of PFW was very comprehensive. And kudos to Gary, who has come up with some great sound bites. I didn't think that it could get better than Casale playing Tecmo Bowl, and then out comes the Bledsoe phone message to Paul. Was
that
real?
All about?
Of course it was real.
When he left when they traded him and he left that voicemail for me. You ever heard Gary play that? Can you punch that up, Doc?
Are you kidding?
Fred had this stone cold serious face on. Are you kidding?
If so, then your jobs are even better than I thought. To have that kind of rapport with the players must be fantastic. 13 years of post-secondary education to become a surgeon, and I have never received a message from a patient that would have made me feel the way that must have made Paul feel.
Well,
you don't know half of it.
Yeah,
you get a paycheck once a week. That's the size of our yearly paychecks.
But plus, though, you don't know about my relationship with Bubba Ventrone. I mean, we're very close.
Right. That being
Tom's going to write his book.
That being said, you officially get no more sympathy from me when it comes to your job. I don't feel bad that Paul has to work on weekends and that when he is doing other shows, the team is running lean. I won't lose any sleep over the fact that people make fun of Andy's big head and that the entire nation of Ireland is out to get him. I can no longer be concerned that people don't know that Fred's real name is Frank, or is Frank's name Fred, even if he has managed to incur the wrath of communist China. And I certainly will not shed a tear for a guy who gets killed on the message boards by a bunch of guys whose wives he used to bang, and then they came to him for a little personal training. Even if he is destined to have a daughter that is almost certain to meet a guy like him on her 14th birthday.
That is true.
Keep up the great work and enjoy every minute of it. You guys are the envy of Patriots Nation.
Good stuff, Joe.
And now, a letter from Drew Bledsoe to Paul Perillo.
I've grown so much in the past decade, and you have nurtured me and fostered that growth as a person and a player. Quite simply, you helped me learn how people should treat other people, and I thank you for that.
I can't believe you didn't remember
Please
the voicemail.
That he
said that.
Yes, I do now.
Gary put it all together with a little music behind it.
It's been a while.
Thank you. All right. That's Drew Bledsoe's phone message to Paul. Paul, you have that at home, right? You play that every once in a while just to
when I'm particularly down, you know, it's like a Sunday night, you know, one of those working on the weekend
right.
kind of deals. That perks me up a little bit.
Let's see. Dave says he's from Manchester, United Kingdom. Can we please get Fred back? I'm a regular listener to your show, but I have to admit I don't like this Frank guy. In last week's show, I thought I heard a hint of rational, unbiased reporting. This would never have happened had good old Fred been hosting the show. I've heard that Fred has been seen at the BBC in London being interviewed for the South China correspondence job. Don't let him go. If, God forbid, we start the season 0-5, who would be there to tell the Patriot Nation we will still make the Super Bowl and Wes Welker will catch a ball this season? unbiased reporting. Who needs it? Get Fred back. Congratulations to Paul and Andy on the baby boom. Clearly, only Tom found training camp interesting last year. You get it?
True.
You get it?
I see what he's saying there.
Yeah.
I hate kids. At least my own.
Let's see. Jay also said, hit me up with the show's number, guys. I'm trying this Skype crap of Frank's. It's 508-543-7482. So he's going to call us on Skype.
I hope he calls us on Skype and it's like all broken up and we can barely hear
him. I say this is the biggest scam.
You can make fun of that like you make fun of my Sirius Radio.
This is the biggest scam going, I say.
Your Sirius Radio sucks.
No, it doesn't. It's great. Now that I get the caddy, I got the
See, the problem was the Spartan G.
Now I got
the radio.
The antenna right in the middle.
Oh,
now it comes
by the way, rich guy, since you had to buy a suite at the hotel, guess whose room we're drinking in before the wedding?
I don't care.
Good, because I'm coming.
that's not going
to
work.
You're not allowed to do that before the wedding. You're supposed to be getting ready.
That's Nikki's room.
That's called
too,
getting ready for him.
So how long does it take you to put
it
on
actually,
a suite?
We'll actually be in Andy's room.
The suite
room
was $50
solo.
More than a regular room.
I know, but our room was free. That's why we didn't get the suite.
You know. Are you staying at that hotel?
What kind of suite did you get?
It's just a suite.
Does it have like a jacuzzi?
No. Tom couldn't get the suite because Fred and Nikki got it.
Yeah.
No, he wanted it for free.
I know. I heard the story.
Yeah. It was available, so I took it. $50 more.
What's $50 when you're Fred?
Yeah, you got
to
be there for
four.
I'm bringing my wife to Fishkill for the weekend. I got to do something right.
Oh, don't worry. She'll have fun.
Okay. Oh, I walked by your car yesterday and realized it's truly a really nice car. It has the real clock. That's the dead giveaway
like
of
that.
An elite car.
You like that?
The
no digital clock.
With the actual
classic. The actual hands. You know?
It's nice. It's
you know, any Toyota can have a digital.
Apparently, Andy opened the door inside.
You should have seen him. He was looking in, right. You know, like a kid in a candy store with his nose pressed up against the
guy's
window.
You guys got to take a ride before we do the show in September. Right?
Okay. We will.
I'll meet you there.
Let's see. Dave from Stores, Connecticut. Hey, A-Team and Frank, Fred, or whatever the heck you're calling yourself. I don't call myself anything. It's these idiots.
But you did admit that you actually like Frank better than Fred.
No, I said I don't like Fred. I don't like Frank either. Fred's not a great name.
So yeah, what would you want us to call you? Pick a name.
Fred is like the guy next door.
Just call you Johnny Cakes.
But the really rich guy next door.
No.
You live near
Scott Zolak.
It was a used Cadillac, Andy.
Do you live near Scott Zolak?
This guy buying John
Deere whatever you say, Marvin. What do you want us to call you?
What do you want us to call you?
You let us know.
I don't know.
Thank you, Robert.
Maybe like Jake Steele or something like that.
Jake Steele? What are you going to be
now
like?
Now we're changing the last name.
What are you going to be like a porno guy?
What are you going to be, a porn star?
Buck naked?
You can drape yourself in velvet?
Do you live near Zolak? Doesn't he live near you?
He lives about 2 miles from me.
You see an ambulance come by at any point?
I heard about that.
Apparently, he had like an allergic reaction to fertilizer this weekend while doing his lawn.
It was an allergic reaction to doing his lawn. The guy's never worked a day in his life.
No, he claims he loves doing that. He actually has a degree in like turf management.
Is that right? I don't know. No, I didn't.
Yeah, he was talking about it on the radio this morning. Apparently, he had an allergic reaction. His face swelled up. His hands blew up and turned yellow.
My kid did go to his house, though, for Halloween.
What did he give out?
No one answered the door.
But that's right answer.
Usually, they do a lot. I heard that in the past, like, they you know, dress up and answer the door, and they're into it.
What does he dress up as?
A football player. Thank you. That was a softball.
It was too quick.
Let's see. Dave says, congrats to Andy and your son, Jackson Hart.
Thank you.
Did you really like Chad Jackson that much that you had to name your son after him?
It was named after
Paul liked me so much, he named his son after my entire family.
And as I said in the past, I just wanted to name my son after the happiest, most pleasant person that I knew, Tom Cassell.
And when I drink, I am that person.
Do you think that the Patriots will take a wide receiver on the first day of the draft? I hear some people seem to be downplaying this, but I think if Ginn is on the board at 24, I would pull the trigger in like 2 seconds.
I'll drive and pick him up.
Certainly hard to
I'd
pass.
Pull the trigger.
Certainly hard to pass him up. That would be incredible value, I think, at the end of the first round.
Of course, I thought Chad Jackson was a credible value.
He just wasn't as fast as you thought. Ted Ginn is.
Right. I've seen Ted Ginn use his speed on the football field to pull away from people. I've seen Chad
and
Jackson not do
he's
that.
A guy who toys with you. He's not even running until someone gets close. Then he actually starts to run.
All right. Let's see. Brian in Glenwood Springs, home of Doc Holliday in the largest kiddie pee pool in Colorado. Okay.
I don't know what
I don't really
means.
Know what that means.
Doc Holliday. That's from Wyatt Earp, right? And Tombstone.
Tombstone,
and all that.
Yeah. That's they great. Must have a large public pool there for kids.
Okay. Oh. I know Doc Holliday.
Part. Anyway, he says, what's with all the man love for Tom these days? He's getting his butt kissed more than a chubby-cheeked baby at a political rally.
Who, me?
Brady better watch out or he's going to lose his parking spot entitled as Face of the Patriots. I just finished listening to the most recent draft prospect review. Like most other people not named Tom Casale, I have no idea what the Pats are going to do in the draft. So for the discussion purposes only, what are the odds of the Pats drafting Harrison Woodley in the first round?
I'd say zero.
Harris. Well, a lot of people think
I have think him taking Woodley.
One or the other, I think,
right.
would be fine.
Yeah, but not
both of them wouldn't seem to make a lot of sense.
No. I think at 28, I think they're going to trade down. So it's hard to say who they're going to take. But if you're sitting there, the players that will be available at 28, if the Patriots truly say we take the best player available and Lamar Woodley is on that board, he's one of those guys you have to consider.
You all have
that would also alleviate my little worry about you don't know who was good on that defense. If you take them all, then you're sure to get the one that was good.
The one thing that I would say is that there was a surprising deep run on the defensive backs, and you know the top four or five corners are all gone, and
see,
you know,
I think that's going to happen.
And all the safeties are all gone too. You know, like Nelson, Merriweather,
Griffin
are all gone. Obviously, we know Landry's gone, long gone,
right.
But. All of a sudden, maybe you're looking and say, well, hey, you know, Harrison Woodley are here. All the defensive backs we like aren't. Got to take somebody.
I think that's I think that could happen. That's what I think's a good possibility.
Yeah,
what about
sure
Ryan
as hell
Claridge?
Don't want Eric Weddle.
Are we ever going to see Ryan Claridge again?
No.
No?
No, they released
him. Are you being serious?
What in your head?
Matter of fact, I think the year anniversary of that is coming up within the next couple of days.
Oh, okay.
No,
are you really talking
year.
About Ryan Claridge, the linebacker?
Yeah.
UNLV?
Yeah.
Last year they released
played
him.
Tennis. You kind of liked him.
Yeah.
Okay.
You all have pretty.
I was trying to give you an out there.
You all have pretty thick skin. I can't believe some of the shots you all take in week in and week out from each other and the listeners. I half expect a cage match to break out some weeks.
I think we're pretty sensitive. We fire back immediately.
Well, I was going to say we're all pretty good at it, except for Tom. He just wants to fight you.
I'll tell you what. You come down here. I'll bend you over that table right there.
That's just my initial reaction.
That's what you used to say when I was banging your wife.
But if I did this show drunk,
you'd be happy-go-lucky.
Yeah. We ought to try that 1 week. Okay. Just get me
what
loaded.
What are we stern now?
It only takes me two beers. I'll
that's
suck
true.
Him down
with him,
the
it's
bathroom.
Easy.
Yeah, but don't remember that.
Okay, I won't. I won't.
Don't forget that Commissioner Goodell says he's going to be holding the employees of NFL teams to a higher standard than the players.
I don't work for an NFL team. I work for NPS.
Yeah.
Right?
I don't know.
Well, if he wants to do that, he can speak to my lawyer.
I don't have an NFL pension.
Ashton from Virginia says, am I the only person in the world who doesn't get extremely excited about the draft? I care about it to a degree, but past the first round, it's not really important. I get excited about free agency more than the draft.
The wrong show.
And since I only care about the first round, I have my predictions assuming the Pats don't trade one of those. Linebacker John Beeson with 24 and safety Michael Griffin or a corner in that spot at 28. I think it's safe to say that if we draft a corner in the first round, we are not keeping Samuel around. I don't think that is safe.
I don't think that's safe.
When or if I'm right, I would like a standing ovation the following week.
All so right. You took our last mock draft and said that's who they're going to take?
Michael Griffin is my favorite prospect.
I like Michael Griffin.
I don't think he's going to be there at 24.
He might not be.
I think the Eagles could take him. I think the Cowboys could take him.
If you told me I had to pick one guy that's a legitimate might be there, that's the guy I want. I want him to be there.
I think that position is really coming into focus and really gaining a lot of steam in terms of the importance around the league. So I think you guys
are right.
And
you know what else, Paul, is that guys like Nelson and Merriweather, people are talking about using as safeties, but they can line up as like slot corners as well, and that's increasing their value.
Earlier impact.
And I don't know what if you guys saw that story a couple of weeks ago, I think it was in the Boston Herald, talking about safeties and how it's become a position more of prominence, but they talked about that. What a lot of colleges are doing is they're taking their top four corners, and you know they're having a competition, and basically the best two of the corners, the next two, they're making safeties.
Right.
There's a lot of quotes from the Texas Aiken or something.
I think that makes a lot of sense. A guy like Reggie, that's why these guys had some experience as corners because they have been. They really are, and they're playing just because their athleticism is too good to not have on the field, so they're playing four corners rather than two corners, two safeties.
And can we talk
it's Tom's
about
defense,
Nelson?
The four corners defense.
There you
he
go.
Hates safeties. He thinks they can't play.
Can we just talk about Nelson for a second? Because here's a guy who was a leader and the best player on a defense that won the national championship, and now all the fans don't want him because he scored poorly on the Wunderlich test.
And he went to junior college.
Yeah, Andy. What did Vince Young score on the Wunderlich test? Now, he's a quarterback.
10-7. Somewhere between 7 and 16,
and
depending
on
how he scored.
And he won Rookie of the Year. What teams are doing is they're interviewing Reggie Nelson, and if he's smart on the football field, they don't care what kind of college degree he has, what kind of classes he took. It doesn't matter. So I think it's unfair to call him stupid unless you've given him a one-on-one interview and you've actually talked with him.
And even then,
you don't know.
Football smarts versus any other smarts
are
not the
mean.
Same.
Give
you know, like
the same kind of
he could. We could
NFL
speak with him
doing.
And just have a conversation, and he might come off as a total moron that you can't even speak with. But there's
Bill,
guys that are like
Bill
that
could,
who go, "What's the safety doing in this cover two defense when the slot guy goes into motion to the weak side?" You go, and he just digests it. I mean, there's certain guys that have certain strengths.
But, hey, and that emailer, by the way, what do you do for a living? We don't trash what you do for a living. I don't think anything of the draft.
Yeah.
You don't have to make fun of us so blatantly.
What are you, Irish? You're drunk?
You could also listen to another radio show. Listen to, what is that, NPR? We'll be talking about politics.
Talk about
I'm big on NPR during the playoffs, you know.
You're big in that chair right now.
Unfortunately, you're small, though, because you're an incredibly shrinking man.
Paul drags out the pipe and tweed jacket from the closet. NPR.
And he has to do the slow, monotonic voice.
I lose the Boston accent completely for those gigs, too.
Yeah, the David Halberstam, which we should bring up. David Halberstam died in a car accident.
Were you going to make a joke about that?
Well, the David Halberstam voice. You ever hear him talk?
I actually like David Halberstam.
Yeah. You know, his last book that he wrote was Education of a Coach,
which I bought
and
never read.
The book, that hasn't come out yet, it's out in September, was the last book he wrote on the Korean War.
Yes. That's true. Okay.
It's all about the Patriots.
You stumbled into honoring David Halberstam. You're about to make fun of him, then realize he died 2 days ago.
I forgot about it.
I
forgot.
Stay classy, Frank.
Dave from Queens. Finally, after months of overanalysis and crazy rumors, D-Day is upon us. I guess I really want to know is what everyone thinks will happen versus what you want to happen. Picks, trades, etc. And what rounds do you think they will go after certain positions? You know, blah, blah, blah.
Read anything we put on the website?
I think the Pats have the high ground in the draft and will make moves if certain players like Willis fall to the mid-teens. But other than that, we know from the past that Belichick and Pioli will not just draft a player out of need for a position. So two surprise picks that no one has been talking about I could see dropping to us are Marshawn Lynch and or Greg Olsen. I want them to go defense.
Boy, will I rip that draft if they take
those two. But they have been known to surprise us every year. Would it be a bad idea to pick one of those guys in the first round?
Yes, and let me explain something. Olsen is not your Jeremy Shockey type of guy where if he falls to you, you say, God, we got to have this guy. He's so awesome. He's a pretty good tight end, and that's about it. In a weak class for tight ends, as Fred pointed out. And I just don't think Greg Olsen's the type of guy you say, oh, my God, we have to have him.
Value's too much to pass up. I think
same
that
with
would be
Lynch. He's the second best back, but the second best back in this draft makes you pretty far down the ladder.
Right.
You know, he might go in the first round, but I just don't think, again, there's value here for a backup running back because that's what you're drafting him to be.
I think the misnomer here with the Patriots is that they make every pick based totally on value.
Right.
They don't, and nobody does.
Right.
You have to have, it has to have something to do with need, too. A running back and a tight end in the first round wouldn't make any sense, in my opinion.
Tom, has anyone fallen further or faster or more off the face of the planet than the tight end out of Zach Miller? Wasn't he the number one tight end heading in?
Flat out not good, in my opinion.
Does he exist anymore? Because he went from being the number one tight end to, I haven't heard that name since Greg Olsen ran the 40 at the combine.
Hey, there's like two tight ends in the draft.
First
Olsen
word
and the
I heard about
Delaware.
Him was lumbering.
He yeah, well, the tight end you got to keep your eye on is Michael
Newton.
Allen out of Whitworth.
I like Newton out of Oregon State. I think he's a late-round guy who could come in here and do some damage.
Nobody
like
dominated
him.
Division III like Michael Allen out of Whitworth.
You know what's funny? I really
Hart
liked him. He's very slow, but I liked him a lot.
Right, he's slow. And he was coming back from an injury, too, which I think...
What are we talking about?
Joe Newton.
Joe Newton from
Oregon
State.
I thought he was
he's
a
big, big guy. He's not fast at all, but he's open and has great hands.
And good red zone targets.
Always open. On the
solid
highlights.
Goes after the ball, tall, just an average athlete.
Strong,
strong hands.
Yeah, you're talking about a guy projected to go in the sixth round. So with
Zach
four sixth round picks,
I shoot him down.
Yeah, he's fallen off the map.
But he was supposed to be the number one tight end until he was no longer even.
And now the guy Patrick from Delaware is
he has shot up too.
Yeah,
he's like the.
I actually
like
the kid in the same on the same lines as the kid from Minnesota, Spaeth.
Yeah,
same kind of deal
he's
as Newton.
Always open.
Always open. Made some plays.
All right,
but a weak crop of
Tom from Nottingham, England. He says, "Congratulations to Annie and Paul."
Thank you. I didn't know Jackson was already famous worldwide.
Yeah, we were talking
Korea,
about
we brought
UK.
We brought you up a little bit.
We're huge around the world, huh?
And we were talking about how scared we were.
A couple of questions.
Right.
One is,
does anybody in the U.S. listen to us anymore?
By the way, have you changed the diaper yet?
No.
Jesus,
it's only been 2 weeks.
You should get those ones you could just pull up. The pull-ups.
Yeah, those work well for infants, Red.
They're for like 3-year-olds. They're before they are potty trained.
Those are potty training.
For 3-year-olds and 80-year-old men.
Who drive Cadillacs slowly.
or astronauts that go from Houston to Florida.
Except when they're in the parking lot.
Right.
That's when they
then
the
they
gas.
Gun it and try to kill you.
Oh, boy. Let's see. One, is it bad news if the team doesn't draft a linebacker with the first two picks? I would be amazed and worried if they waited until day two for a linebacker, but should 24 or 28 be devoted to a linebacker?
Not necessarily.
Yes and no.
Let's put together a list of guys, and we'll say if any of those guys are available and they pass on it, I'd be concerned.
Harris, Beeson,
depending
Willis.
Depending on who else was left, though, too. You can't just look at it in a vacuum. You can have Beeson and Harrison on there, but then there's some other buddy that slipped on another
if Patrick
position.
Willis was available at 24.
Talk about Willis.
I'm
obviously.
Talking about a handful of
well,
the
can
linebackers.
We talk about Willis, too? The guy brought up, you know, if Willis is sitting there in
he's
the
he's not going to be.
But
well,
if he
no,
at,
I don't think
at
so
what
either.
Point do the Patriots say, yeah, we got to do it?
If he gets
well,
to 16?
15, yeah.
You got San Fran, Buffalo, and the Rams, and Carolina, who all should be interested, right?
But Carolina what you're missing, I agree with that, but what you're missing is, if something happens early and bumps even better players
no,
down.
And, but my point was, before you interrupted me,
oh,
was
up.
Is I think if he gets by Carolina at 14, at 15, I think that's where you make the move because those teams should all be interested in
so him. If he's there at 15, you trade for him?
You got it.
Okay.
15.
Everybody agree? Consensus?
What do you
right?
do? What's the trade?
I don't know how to work out trades. I just
I just say, you got to trade.
Tom's a talk show caller. I think we should definitely move up to 15. How do you get there? I don't know.
I'm a scout. I'm not Pioli. It's his job is to take care of that kind of thing. I just tell you when you need to move
so
up.
So it's 24 and a third-round pick or something? Does that get you there
to
or whatever?
Move up 24 and a third, you move up to 15, you take Patrick
24,
Willis,
a third, and a seventh,
in the Super Bowl.
Something like that. So you do it, Paul, for 15? You trade 24?
Yeah, I like Willis a lot.
Do whatever you need to do within reason to get there?
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, right? it needs to be a fairly equitable trade.
I'm not doing
a Denver Broncos first, second, third, and next year's first.
But if you look at this, Andy, you have to get ahead of Cincinnati at that point because you figure they're going to want Willis at 18. So you got this little window right here to try to move up in 15, 16, and 17.
Carolina, I agree with Tom, though. I mean, that whole Dan Morgan situation, they need a replacement there.
Fred, you'd do it, too?
For Willis?
Yeah.
We could put what you're talking about, Willis, on the cover, Fred?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're talking about Willis, right?
And I can actually call him Willis.
Any chance Ted Ginn
Patrick.
Jr. drops to 24? And if he did,
yes.
Is he a must-take, or would you pass on him to sort out the defense?
If he's there at 24, it depends who's on the board. But, man, I love Ted Ginn. I always have. I just think you give me that kind of athlete, and we'll find a place for him.
Keep it up, guys. Love the show. Tom, you're still the man, but Frank is quickly catching you. He has a certain charm that the old Fred didn't used to have.
I agree.
You like that, don't you?
I do.
He laughs at anything, really.
I'm a happy-go-lucky guy. I love my job, Fred. It keeps me happy year-round.
Andy in Sioux City, Iowa. A lot of people from Iowa.
We're big in Iowa and worldwide. Everywhere else, we're irrelevant.
He says, congrats to the new dads and good luck. I really have enjoyed all the draft coverage you guys have done and really like the way you break things down. Great job and keep up the good work. I like what the Pats have done so far in the offseason and hope we can land some young talent in that defensive backfield. I know this comes up every week, but where are we with Samuel? I hate to see him go, but can't see emptying the bank for him either. It seems like the Patriots are pretty good at making average defensive backs look better than they are.
True.
Is that it?
They've won with some bad defensive backs. It's sort of like we talked about running back a couple years ago, where sometimes it seems like backup running backs, they feel like they can sign a guy and use him for a couple weeks.
Yeah.
Seems like at the defensive backfield, they've had some success getting by.
And I would say that, yes, they... Because they did win it all. When Ty Law got hurt in 2004, they were able to overcome that.
Randall Gay shut down Terrell Owens.
And he played very well, and they won. Okay? Since then, they haven't had that kind of depth in the secondary. They've gotten a lot of injuries in the secondary. And you could make an argument in 2005 that the shoddy secondary play forced them into having to play on wild card weekend and then having to travel to Denver.
Yeah.
And you could make the same argument last year to a lesser extent, and then you could say they lost in the game that they lost in the playoffs because of shoddy secondary play because they didn't have the quality defensive backs. So I think there is some truth to the fact that they've been able to overcome it in the past, but there's also some evidence that they haven't always overcome it.
Right.
And I think that latter part is kind of glossed over a lot. Last year they didn't have just anybody. They did have just anybody out there, and they showed you the difference between Samuel and just anybody. Or, you know, in the past, Law and just anybody. So
but it didn't kill him.
I think it's a dangerous game to play.
They were still minutes away from a Super Bowl. You know what I mean? They didn't fall off the map because all their secondary stunk. They're an 8-18.
No, but I wouldn't expect that to happen as long as Tom Brady's here. You know what I'm saying? I think you can have average players around Tom Brady and you'll be all right.
Yeah.
Karen says, I heard Felger on the Fox Sports New England show say that Bill Belichick should draft Samardzija in the 7th round and get the rights to him
Figures.
In case
He's a
this
moron.
Baseball yeah, thing doesn't really work does. Out.
Makes no sense.
I know Tom Casale did not like Samardzija as a player for the Patriots. Is Felger crazy? Why would the Patriots
yes.
do something like this?
Well, see, it's not even about the player. It's about you wasting a pick. And there's always that chance that you can draft a guy in the 6th or 7th round that can play. So why just waste a pick?
You know,
even though you have
quarterback who you just said is indispensable.
Right. Just because you have 4 6th-round picks doesn't mean that gives you free reign to just throw one away.
And Paul, maybe people are getting a little confused, so we should clarify. When the Texans drafted Drew Henson, it was after he had played baseball and said, "I'm coming back to football."
Right.
So that's why they had his rights and were able to, you know, stick one in the Cowboys trade.
I was going to say, even then they got lucky. He played baseball for a couple of years. They took him on a lark. They were about to lose his rights, and for whatever reason, Dallas panicked.
Well, that's Jerry Jones.
Jerry Jones.
And traded a third-round pick
That's
for
the
him.
Reason.
But
your point about here, you draft Samardzija, you only have him for a year, and he's not going to come back to football next year. He's making too much money, and he's already said he's playing baseball.
Right. Henson had played professional baseball as a collegiate player. When he was still at Michigan, he was already playing professional baseball.
Basically,
so that's the difference here. Samardzija just started last year.
He hasn't realized whether he can make it or not make it.
Yeah,
Henson had realized, I'm not, it's starting to look like I'm not really all that good at baseball.
The bottom line is Michael Felger shouldn't have his own show anywhere.
Or be on TV.
Yeah, but you get
or...
to be on it.
Right.
Yeah, and you can't Andy and I are more that. Talented
That's
than
him. That's a meal ticket for you.
No, but we should be doing the show. That's my point. Don't you get it, Frank?
I get it.
Marvin or Clifford.
Don't bite the hand that
feeds you. What was the steal?
Well, it's actually
what?
A meal ticket for Michael
Jake
Felger.
Steele. Jake Steele.
Tom from Grand Junction, Colorado, why not trade some picks for Lance Briggs? I'm sure Chicago would look at that.
What are they looking at?
I'm tired of Lance Briggs.
Why?
Beyond the fact
because
that he doesn't want to play in the 3-4 here. He doesn't like the defense.
We've gone over this.
I'm not all that happy with his attitude.
He's going to take...
Poopy Pants wants to be the man.
He's going
to
take...
more money than Samuel.
Right.
You know, it's going to cost you a lot more money
than you
gave.
Yeah, that's the other problem. That trade didn't even include Samuels. Now we got two franchise guys who don't want
to
play.
And it gave you a lot. He's going to cost you a lot more money than it cost to sign Thomas, because that's what he's looking for is more than that. So I just don't think that it's a good fit. I think the player is very good. But
how does that work for a? You'd have to sign him if you traded for him, right?
I believe that the order of that, yeah, would be that they would sign the guy. And
the
then,
Bears would sign him and trade him.
Yeah, here. And okay. Then trade him, and then, you know.
Because you don't really have a franchise.
Jay from UK says Skype is crap. No luck with it. Just to settle Tom down, you can't make free calls at all. You get a free 5 minutes, and then you have to put your own credit card on the program.
Thank you.
To make further calls.
Andy.
I kept getting an error. So
I don't use it.
So no lunch, I'm afraid. I'm sure you could beg others.
He didn't even know we had it.
I check out those credit cards.
All
card
I
bills.
Know is that this little green bubble goes boop, and tells you it's like loaded. That's the pretty much the sum of everything I
know
about
Skype. I
hope
your wife was on it for less than 5 minutes or that credit card bill is going to be up there.
That's the trouble. We have a high credit card bill, so things tend to get buried.
let's see. Some guy says, please make it stop. Go back to football. We only get 2 hours with you guys. Yeah. So there's the obligatory.
I agree.
Skype yourself.
Don't talk about anything but football.
Tom was so mad he went down to the bathroom in the middle of that time.
No, I drank four waters.
He went and did an injection.
Let's see. Matt says, wondered if you guys had seen where the Chiefs have traded Dante Hall to the Rams. It's on ProFootballTalk.com.
No, I did not see that.
Seen that yet.
That must be new.
Apparently Tom wasn't the source on that one, unless it was when he left. Interesting. Maybe.
Yep.
You never know
what I'm
speaking. He's blogging from the bathroom.
And the other big rumor with the Chiefs, I mean, Dante Hall is okay, but that Larry Johnson is being shopped and could be traded.
Now, I
That's
did not
huge.
Start that rumor because it's stupid.
See, I think it makes a lot of sense.
See, he hates Kansas City.
Well,
the biggest issue.
Big story going into this draft
is
that whole thing going
him?
On with Culpepper and Trent Green and what would happen with if Miami could get Trent Green.
Well, I think Larry
Culpepper,
Johnson's bigger because
then the Raiders
I think
would get Culpepper, then they
back.
Wouldn't take Calvin Johnson. You know, so there's all this kind of stuff going on.
That's why I think
that,
it's stupid.
That, see, that one doesn't make any
what
sense.
What are you getting for – because if you're trading Larry Johnson, you got to get the King's ransom.
Oh, you're going to be getting a lot.
But
you
is
get
someone
a lot,
willing
and,
to give that
and then
up?
You, and then you draft – you get someone – you get like a top five pick. You draft Adrian Peterson to replace Larry Johnson. Right. You save all that money, and you end
well,
up with a
– who's going
to
pay the King's ransom
the Patriots
for him? That's
if
what
if the
I'm
Patriots
asking.
Didn't have Lawrence Maroney, would you give up their first-round picks for Larry Johnson?
I would do it if they did have Lawrence Maroney. Larry Johnson is a proven stud.
I just don't think he's going to be around that much longer. I think there's a very short shelf life
so
on that type of back.
It. No,
two first-round picks? No.
I would because that would bring another trophy
well,
here for the trophy
24
case,
and 28.
Like
24 and 28, that's different.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I would do that. 24 and 20. I'm talking about two real picks.
Oh, no. That's, you know.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think a team's going to give up two real picks to get them, so you kind of.
Yeah, but there's always a team out there.
Well, the Redskins don't have a lot of picks.
The more I see, I always say that'll never happen. And Wes Welker was traded for a second
round pick.
In
my opinion, the fifth pick in the draft is worth a hell of a lot more than 24 and 28.
Right.
In my opinion. So I don't think you
it's
need
not just your
the King's
that trade value chart. Tells you it is worth more.
All right, that's going to do it for this show. I want to remind everybody, Saturday, 3 to
don't
6.
Don't remember.
3 to 6 Eastern Time, and on Sunday, noon to 3 Eastern Time. Check out Patriots.com all weekend long. It is going to be hopping. We'll see you on Saturday.
Come with it, Joey.